brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Yes! Thursday. Hey, everybody.
See, welcome.
Look, when you're at the helm, everything sounds like I can. It sounds better.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal. It sounds different.
Maybe I just know how to mix.
Did you?
I'll show people the art. Yeah, man. If you can get it right, look at that. Oh.
Let me see.
It's like right to the zero.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, everybody. Welcome.
It is.
To the second day of our share-a-thon. Yesterday wasn't quite the landslide that we hoped it was.
Yeah, but you know what? Nope, got nothing.
Hey, you know what? It wasn't quite the avalanche that we hoped it was. It turned out to be a landslide.
There you go. There you go. You saved it.
Yeah.
You saved it. It is Team Awesome Morning Party. Happy Thursday, everybody. Steve-O, Mateo with you.
Hey.
And we are here for the long haul. Yesterday, we were broadcasting until 7 p.m.
Oh, no.
Had a chance to go home, grab some grub, watch a little
Yep, that's exactly
that's
what
it. That's it. That's all I remember.
It's true.
Now it is Thursday, day two of our three-day share-a-thon. We need your support. We need your money.
Mm-hmm.
We're a listener-supported station, if you haven't gathered that yet. And
you haven't been listening.
Yeah. Very excited about today, day two of our share-a-thon. Thanks to all the local businesses that have stepped up and helped us out. Square Root Salon, Astro Zombies Comic Shop. We want to thank Parchment's Bookstore, Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop, Firehouse Subs today.
Yes.
Excited about that.
Stoked.
We've got Static Swag Bags.
Oh!
Full of goodies from those local businesses.
Yep.
All you got to do is call our operators who are needing your phone calls today. We're excited. We're jazzed. We're rejuvenated. They need more coffee.
They do. I made
your
strong coffee.
Loving,
today.
Loving words of encouragement.
Yes.
And credit card numbers.
Yes.
1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Give them a call. They are standing by. They need your help. We need your help. We're a listener-supported station. And we were able to go out to the State Fair this year. We were able to bring in Five Iron Frenzy. Band hasn't been here in 11 years. That was fantastic. It was only because of support from you, the listener, that we were able to do stuff like that. Sadly, there have been some things that have had to been nixed, cut off, gone away.
You
Freedom
know about
Fest.
Yep.
That's how we met, dude.
Yep.
We met through Freedom Fest. If it wasn't for Freedom Fest, there would be no Team Awesome Morning Party.
Well, we met you before Freedom Fest. We met you at GMA.
Yeah, that's
true. Where the devil lived.
That's
we met.
I swear you guys. No, you guys had been at the Freedom Fest before that GMA. GMA was when you got dropped.
Was that 2008?
I think so.
I thought we met you at the one before that. Maybe, I thought we met you at the Freedom Fest or at the GMA 2007. Then we played Freedom Fest 2007, and then we met you or we saw you guys again. GMA 2008. Because when we saw you guys, you were like, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, we already knew each other. We met GMA 2007.
That's
definitely.
True. You're right.
I think so.
You're so right. No, I only ever went to one GMA.
Maybe we met Joey. I bet that's what it was.
That's had to
Maybe
be what
we
it was.
Met Joey.
That's had to be.
And then we met you at Freedom Fest.
Yeah,
okay. That makes sense.
See, guys, Freedom Fest. If it wasn't for Freedom Fest.
Well, here's my
and
deal.
Joey.
I would like to bring Freedom Fest back in some way.
I know.
Some shape.
Every
some
year
different
we
shape.
Have people say, dude,
that's not
going to
happen.
Fest. I know.
Not like yesterday. Not going to happen.
Yeah. So
we couldn't even pay for one band with yesterday.
We really couldn't. And we need your support. We are a listener-supported station. And sadly, from time to time, things have to go away. We had to nix prom because of lack of support. We definitely don't want to nix the station because of lack of support. Yesterday.
Oh, but we'll do it.
Yesterday, we were able to raise $3,000.
Yeah.
So thanks to the people that called in with the one-time donation, we had a few of those. We only had four monthly donors. Monthly donors. People to say, hey, dude, I will totally jump on board on a monthly basis. So thanks to everybody who rocked those one-time donations. But really, we have bills each month in and month out, that we have to take care of. And so if you would be so kind as to give our operators a call, 1-866-730-4921. We want to have 10 times that amount today of our calls yesterday. And so if you would please call our operators.
Please.
1-866-730-4921. We like to do things a little differently around here.
We do.
One of the things we do that we believe no one else in the nation is doing is something called Culture Shock.
Ooh. We're
going to drop some mainstream artists on you.
Drop them.
And have you take a listen. Challenge you to think about the culture that you're ingesting, why you say yes to something, why you say no to something, mm-hmm. and think beyond the surface level of this is quote-unquote Christian, this is quote-unquote non-Christian, and stop taking them and putting them in those boxes and challenge you to really look at the art behind it. Whoa, that's loud. Like this artist right here, Culture Shock. Caller operator 1-866-730-4921. And enjoy some Mumford & Sons on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the Disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah.
Neato.
Won it.
Dead or alive.
Your money.
We'll take your money even if it's dead.
Team Awesome Morning Party, welcome to Thursday.
Yeah.
Day two of our three-day share-a-thon, and we are stoked to be here. Dude, we were on the air for 13 hours.
We were.
Woo! Bon Jovi! Yeah,
dude.
We're back at it.
We are.
Back in the saddle, if you will.
Oh.
1-866-730-4921 is the phone number. If you didn't know, Static Radio is a listener-supported station. You know, it's because of your amazing donations that we were able to get you out here, Mateo.
Mm-hmm.
Add you to the staff.
That's right.
Be a part of it.
Without people's support, that couldn't happen. Without people's support, we couldn't have wonderful, glorious, innocent producer Doug.
Yes, dude. Lovely little baby Doug.
He's got the tiniest baby face and a beard.
It's so great.
Yep.
Kind of throws you for a loop a little, but, you know, we love him.
It reminds you of better things when you look at him.
Day two of the Share-a-thon going on right now. Would you please give our operators a call because we need your support. We're looking for monthly donors. $30 a month if you can spare that. We will totally hook you up with a Static swag bag with some goodies.
Yes.
Got a Static decal on there. We got a
There's
gift
a
card.
Decal? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. $20 gift card to Square with Salon.
Don't mess with me, man. There's a decal.
That's probably my favorite part.
A decal?
Yeah, man.
You put it on your car?
Yeah, or your trapper keeper.
Don't you freaking lie to me.
Ah, we're getting a call from the operator room.
We'll take it because that doesn't happen.
All right. Static.
Static, hello.
Hello.
I've got Jocelyn on the phone.
Yay.
How are you?
Jocelyn.
Yes.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party.
Thanks.
No, we should be saying thank you for donating to our share-a-thon.
Yeah.
Of course.
But we're not going to. Just kidding.
I've been listening to y'all for months.
Yeah.
And I love it.
How did you find us?
I was actually in Glorieta, New Mexico for a summer camp.
No.
Was it Centrifuge?
Yes?
Yeah. I used to go to Fuge when I was a teenager.
What?
I really did.
Same.
Oh, my God.
Back in the 90s.
So where do you live?
I actually live in Texas.
Are you streaming us?
Yes, from the app.
Yeah. So where in Texas do you live?
Around Austin. Okay. Lake Travis, if you've ever heard of that one.
I've never heard. I'm from Lubbock, Texas, like West Texas, the like crappy little Texas where it's like cowboys and nothing.
Did you come see House of Heroes when we played at Baylor the other day?
I didn't know you were there. Gosh, that makes me so upset. I'm actually wearing a Baylor shirt right now, which is kind of ironic.
Oh, man, they were there.
We were at Common Grounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Jocelyn, thank you so much for, one, believing in Static Radio, two, supporting us financially, and three, being a Texas girl and being awesome. Because that wins.
You win.
Woo!
Right on. Can we play a song for you?
Oh, gosh. Yes. How about some... Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Boom.
Okay.
Can do. We'll totally throw that down for you.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you all for an awesome radio season.
Have a great day in Taos.
Tell your friends about us.
Oh, I have. Woo! I have.
Right on.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
All right. Later.
Bye.
1-866-730-4921, the phone number. That's 1-866-730-4921.
Be like Jocelyn.
Texas!
Yeah, she called from Texas. If you're in the
that's
ABQ area, you don't have an excuse.
I know, right? Maybe that's part of the problem.
She's in college.
We're getting sponsor, like donors and people calling in from all over the world who are streaming us on the web, who are rocking our app. Maybe it's because they're local and they just say, hey, well, it's radio, it's local, that must mean, you know, it's free, whatever.
Yeah.
And
people
maybe
don't understand.
People around the world who are supporting us appreciate it more because they don't have anything like that in their town.
Probably.
Maybe we just spoiled in Albuquerque.
We spoiled, y'all. We spoiled.
Sorry, we spoiled you guys. I didn't realize, but now it's starting to come together.
Now we won't spoil you anymore.
But if you get it, and if you believe in Static Radio, we are listener-supported. We do need your help. Please call our operators, 1-866-730-4921. Let's go back to the phones. Static!
Hey, guys, it is Matthew from Albuquerque.
Oh! What's up, Matthew from Albuquerque?
How's it going, guys?
Good. Well, it's great because Jocelyn just called in and donated to the Share-a-thon, which is amazing, listening out in Texas.
I just heard, guys, I was on hold, and I could hear the live call, and hey, just wanted to give a little extra thanks. Thank you so much for supporting this radio station. I'm actually going to be talking to my parents later to see if I can get them to help me out with this.
That's awesome. That's
and see, you know what, guys? I might even be able to talk to a business for you and see if they can come on board.
There you go, man.
That's it, Matthew.
That's what you
now,
gotta do.
Let's just see if the football team won't mind helping out. They might help out. I just gotta have a little talk to some of the guys.
Just gotta talk to them. You're the manager, bro.
Yeah, so I see him on a daily basis now.
Oh, the huge man.
Yeah, I'm Steve Mateo. Actually, I have a little surprise for you. You guys know my new website, correct?
Yes. Yeah, totally.
You know, I'm only going to say the URL. It's mathrt66.wix.com/mathfromabq.
Oh, so easy.
Now, if you go to the website and you click 66. Static Radio Share-a-thon Fundraiser, it's right next to the home button on the menu bar.
Boom.
There's a little, oh. You guys have your own page on there. It just says, they click the image, which I embedded a link into it, directly to the donation site.
Gosh, that's so easy to
Matthew,
do.
Matthew, give everybody that website again.
Okay, guys. So, again, this website is Matt, MATT.wix.com/Matt, MATT, from ABQ.
Okay.
You guys can go there. That is a new website I've had open for the past 2 months now.
Okay.
So it is up and running.
Did this one replace the other one?
This replaced the other one, guys, successfully.
Okay.
The cool thing is I can do a lot more at this site. Actually, I can put a lot more pages. So for all you fans out there that want to contact me, there's still the option of email at matt.from ABQ@gmail.com, or you guys can go to that website I just gave you guys the URL for and fill out the contact form, and I will respond to you.
Please make sure
you provide a email address that is valid for me to reach you back at.
Okay.
Or some sort of contact, because really, guys, if I don't get an email, the only thing I can do is I can just give you guys a shout out with the name received, and that's pretty much it.
There you go, Matthew.
So,
we gotta keep going. It's the Share-a-thon.
Thank you.
You can. We're gonna play some Red Jumpsuit Apparatus for
you know what?
Jocelyn,
right after Jocelyn's request,
we're gonna play Weezer.
Play me a little bit of "Blame Me" by Amberlynn.
Yes, back to the Shack by Weezer. Yes.
Thanks, guys. Everybody, donate to Static.
Boom!
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. You know what? He did do something pretty awesome there for his website. Posted a link for our Share-a-thon. And maybe you can't support us financially right now, but you can get to Facebook and share the information about our Share-a-thon. Please do so, because word of mouth. Maybe you can't
Word
do it, but somebody sure can. So make sure you're sharing that and getting the information out there. We are a listener-supported station. Anybody who calls in and donates, we've got a hookup from Square Root Salon, from Astro Zombies. We've got a gift card to Parchment's Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, you're probably going to want to be using that resource because
we have
an incredible hour of Theology Thursday coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with Pastors Brian Nixon, Jared Petro. Dr. Stephen Collins is going to be in studio. hanging out, talking archaeology and the historicity of Jesus.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
Whoa.
Excited about that. All right, this goes out to Jocelyn, our girl in Tejas. Taking it old school. Why not? Red Jumpsuit Apparatus. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Welcome back.
Now back to Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
It's October 2nd, 2014, and it is time for your favorite segment and mine, breaking news. Is it your favorite, Steve-O?
It's a pretty
yes,
good segment.
Yes, it is, Doug. Is it your favorite? Yes, it is.
I feel like
today's number for the day is 9.
The number of months a baby is in the oven. Not
yes,
a literal oven, like the wife.
Yes, but that's not
the wife is the oven.
What it's for.
Because you are what you clean. Hey-o!
Oh! This is also the number that 7-8.
Wait, what?
7-8-9.
Oh, 7-8-9. Yeah.
But we're talking about weight in pounds the average cremated person's ashes weighs.
Whoa.
Nine pounds?
Nine! Dude, I should have kept my dad. I could have made like a weight out of it for CrossFit.
That would have been good.
That would have been good.
You could have lifted that like on a plane, maybe riding around in your car.
Been like, Dad, when I was a child, you lifted me up, but now
I lift you every day. Check this out. Look at my bicep.
All the time.
Look at that proof right there. That proof don't stop. The head of the Secret Service has resigned.
That's crazy.
That's the first bit. Researchers say they figured out why wind turbines kill so many bats. Could it be that the bats are flying into the turbine?
Possibly, yeah. Maybe it's because of the sonic waves of destruction.
The bats mistake the turbines for trees is the actual answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
They fly into them. Oregon police were able to hunt down a man hiding in the bushes by following the smell of his overpowering cologne.
Oh, Gentry, I told you, stop wearing so much
cologne.
Stop
doing it.
We still have headphones in studio that smell like you, Gentry.
If you're a criminal, you don't want to be known as the guy that smelled so good. Well, what'd he smell like?
That's true.
Try these colognes. Oh, it's definitely that one.
Yeah.
And then they track you down because that certain cologne's only available in two places in the whole city.
Mm-mm.
So then they just check the receipts.
Mm-hmm. And then you're the guy in prison that smells good, and you don't want to be that guy either.
Oh, no.
Right, Doug?
They'll find you.
He knows. He knows all about it.
Doug knows. The Twilight movie series isn't over.
I know. I read about this last night. My wife was squealing with Christy.
End times.
Yeah.
A series of short films will appear next year on Facebook.
Kristen Stewart and Stephanie Meyer will be picking them. So, yeah. Blah. They're going to be taking like small films from characters. And yeah.
Veterinarians say that pet owners are complaining that fleas are getting tougher to control.
Dude,
what's up with that?
Well, here's the truth. Let's be honest. You can't really control Flea. You can only hope to contain him.
Talking about different Flea.
He's all over the place.
Talking about
usually in his whitey tidies. But one of the greatest bassists in the world. Am I right, bass player?
Yep.
I mean, he's a really solid bass player.
He is. You're right. They're talking about the little animal fleas.
Wait, what?
The ones that live on Indiana.
Oh, right.
Not the street.
Okay.
Your dog.
Gotcha.
The Westminster Kennel Club, speaking of Indiana, announced that it has approved two additional breeds for next year's competition. The Wire-Haired Vizsla and the Coton de Tulier.
What?
I don't know.
Man, come on.
They were admitted on the strength of their talent audition. They banged plastic cups on the floor, just like our current Miss America. That is a talent. You have to be able to do it with rhythm and skill.
The rhythm's gonna get you.
It is. The Tom Hanks movie Big is being made into a TV series.
What?
And my heart cried. I don't want them to ruin that movie.
What if he plays like the head of the toy biz now? Or he's got like cameos at least.
Let's think about the last time Tom Hanks was on TV.
Bosom Buddies.
When was that?
Beginning of his career. And it was hilarious. Does nobody remember Bosom Buddies? Am I the only one?
We are both a lot younger than you.
Not a lot younger than me. I was a little kid.
Half a decade?
Uh-huh.
A whole decade.
Whole The dude that was in Honey, I Shrunk the TV show or whatever, you know, right? The Rick Moranis character, but that wasn't Rick Moranis. It was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but it was the TV series. Do you remember that?
I didn't see it.
Okay. The guy that played Rick Moranis, basically, the dad, was his partner on Bosom Buddies. They were best friends, and it was like, hey, we got to get a job. Or no, it was rent-controlled living. And they were like, we got to do this. How do we do this? Oh, we found this great place. Oh, it's for women only. What do we do? Dress in drag. And so Tom Hanks and his best friend dressed in drag, and it was called Bosom Buddies. But it wasn't like weird in like 2014 dressed in drag. It was like, ha ha ha, this is comical because we're dudes, but we're like dressing like ladies, and it's funny. It's like Some Like It Hot. Marilyn Monroe? Anyone?
What do you want me to
Tony
do?
Curtis and...
Dress and drag and do the hula? Luau! If you're looking for a hunk of fat and juicy meat, eat my buddy Pumbaa here because he is a treat. Come on down and dine on his tasty swine. All you gotta do is stand in line. Are you aching?
Yep.
For some bacon?
Yep.
He's a big pig. You can be a big pig too. Hoi!
Nicely done.
You're welcome.
Lion King.
The Queen of England has placed an ad for someone to remove chewing gum from the furniture. Get on it.
Yeah. In the palace?
In the palace.
There's gum on the furniture?
Yeah,
that
she
makes
placed
me so
the ad.
Happy.
It's on Craigslist.
That makes me very happy because I found gum on the car seats before.
Yep.
Like random places. I'm like, kids!
Yep.
What is this? Buckingham Palace?
What is wrong with
Come
you?
Come on!
You kids?
And now I'm justified in saying that because apparently there's gum all over the palace.
A new study suggests that garlic isn't as great as many thought at lowering blood pressure.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, supposedly garlic just lowers your blood pressure.
Dude, yesterday, Village Pizza, who sponsored our foodie for the day, spinach and like a garlic clove, like...
I saw
it wasn't
that.
Minced, it was like grated on top. Oh, man. Garlic.
Microsoft says... You're not a vampire. Microsoft says that its new Windows operating system will be Windows 10.
Yeah, not 9.
They've decided to simply skip number 9.
Yeah. 9!
You know why?
Number of the beast.
It's because that's number 7-8. An investigation has revealed that before Olympic swimming champ Michael Phelps was busted on a DUI, he had been on an 8-hour gambling binge.
Okay.
My ABQ bros know about that. Gambling! I'm addicted. We have friends that are in commercials for gambling addiction.
That's true, yeah. Hey, Bill Peterson.
He's addicted to gambling?
He just texted and said he remembers Bosom Buddies.
Aw, well that puts you in...
Me and the old guy.
There you go. You're in a great camp, Steve-O. Did your AARP card come in?
Not yet, but I'm waiting, man. Hopefully by Friday.
I like to go to the theme parks with Bill and Steve-O because somehow I get the discount, too.
Yeah, dude, it's great.
The senior discount.
You guys are going to be thanking me later when movies are cheaper and everything's great because I'm your old friend.
Hey... Hey, old friend, would you mind coming with us to this? We don't have enough money to get in normal price.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm down for that. I'll give you a call.
We got this. Speaking of funds.
Pepsi True.
Ooh.
No, speaking of funds.
I was just going to say, it's our share-a-thon.
It is.
I'm going to let people know.
Yep.
We're on day 2 of our share-a-thon. We need people to call our operators because we're a listener-supported station. They are standing by. There are real operators here in the building. Who got here way earlier than they
way
normally
early.
Are. Like, we're used to being up this early.
Yes, we are.
They are not, and cranky.
So cranky.
Cheer them up.
It got crankier and crankier yesterday, except for Maria and Daniel.
Stop picking on Joan!
Joan's my best friend.
1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Please call that number. And we're looking for monthly supporters, and you'll get some cool stuff. Maybe not Pepsi True, though.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Is there such thing as a healthy side of soda?
Oof.
Well, Pepsi True was announced Wednesday. The mid-calorie cola drink is Pepsi Company's response to customers' demand for healthy alternatives to high-caloric soft drinks. True is sweetened with a combination of sugar and stevia, a plant-based sugar substitute, blah, blah, blah. The use of stevia in Pepsi True reduces sugar content by 30%.
Yeah.
Calories by 40% when compared to the original version of Pepsi. None of this is as good as Coke. I'm a Coke man.
No. I gotcha.
There's cocaine all over the floor.
That's a song that we play. Thanks, Quinn. I heard that you're not going to be able to buy it in stores.
Is this going to be like a surge thing?
I think so.
By the way, still waiting on that. Yeah. Anybody?
Case of surge. I guess, I've never tried it.
So do you order it like through Amazon or something?
I guess. I don't know. I started to read it and then I was like, wait, I don't like Pepsi. Boring.
Boring. Boring. In case you hadn't noticed, the holidays are coming. Maybe sooner than you'd like. On a positive note, anyone looking to make a few extra bucks or get a discount at one of their favorite retailers should start submitting their applications now. And don't think it's just Walmart and mall stores that need extra help. Look around your community for those under-the-radar businesses that need help at the holidays, during the holidays. For example, Honey Baked Ham is looking for 10,000 workers across the country.
Whoa.
Toys R Us is looking for 45,000 workers across the country. Macy's is seeking 86,000. Target wants 70,000. Walmart is looking for 60,000 few good men. And if retail isn't your thing, UPS is looking for 95,000 workers.
Dang.
These jobs, they largely pay around $10 an hour.
Here's the good news.
This is public education band right now. I'm trying to help you guys out.
This is really, really good because here's the thing. Let's educate them a little further.
Yeah.
If the Share-a-thon keeps going down like it is,
we know where to go.
We've got like three different backup plans. I'm thinking Toys R Us because I'm hoping you get a discount on toys.
I will never move if I work at Toys R Us.
I actually worked at Toys R Us in high school.
You did? Yeah. I was going to, never did.
I worked there because I was like, I want to get a discount. And then I was like, oh, man, this is not what I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Is it
lame?
Well, I mean, think about kids being in there. You're a teenager and you don't like kids, and then kids are in there and they're like just messing up all the toys, and you're like, I just fixed the G.I. Joe section! Stop throwing them on the ground!
You had like this appreciation for the figures. You're like, dude, I organized those by season of the Generation 1 cartoon, you little jerk.
Yeah, and then they would just go grab them and they would, Mommy, I want this one. And then they'd rip the little like cardboard hangy thingy part, and then you'd have to go in the back and you'd have to go get like a little sticker thing and like kind of stick it on and like try and fix it. And you were just constantly like fixing toy shelves.
Ugh. Sounds like a magical job.
Who wants to do that?
Santa.
Yeah.
A girl who has been missing for more than a decade was found in a small town southeast of Mexico City this week. Sabrina Allen, who was just 4 years old when she went missing, has returned to the United States from Mexico. Sabrina, now 17, is said to be alive and well, but receiving medical and emotional care at an undisclosed location. Sources say Sabrina was located during a secret mission to rescue her, which included assistance from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, U.S. Marshals, and Mexican authorities. One of the Mexican agents was injured during the rescue operation when a physical altercation broke out with the suspect responsible for kidnapping the missing girl. I think it was her mom.
Really?
Yeah. However, the injury is believed to be non-life-threatening, and officials say the Mexican agent is recovering and in good condition. 12 years.
Yeah.
The dad never gave up the search because he
knew crazy.
It was his ex-wife. Wow. That had kidnapped the girl, or something. That's what I read yesterday. There could be newer information that I don't know about.
Damn.
Move over, New York City firefighters. There's a new sexy pinup calendar in town.
Oh, great!
Somebody called Joan. Some of the city's cabbies bared their bellies and chest hair to strike a pose.
Gross.
For the 2015 New York City taxi drivers calendar. Some of the pictures include a topless cabbie playing with a bunch of puppies. Another cabbie in a fountain.
Ugh.
Creators Philip Kirkman and Shannon McLaughlin started the calendar last year to promote immigrant awareness. The couple said 90% of New York cabbie drivers are immigrants.
Here's the thing, though. We just had that story that talked about, like, the smell factor.
Smell.
And one of the tests, like,
yes,
before you could go get people is now a smell factor because of their funky body odor for cab drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put up a calendar. The whole time, I'm just thinking funky smells.
Funky smells!
Ugh.
Won't you take me to those funky smells?
Dude, the good news is cab drivers are supposed to drive you to Funky Town. You get in the cab, you're already in it.
Hey-o! Listen, before we hit up traffic, you have a very sensitive nose.
I do.
You do. If you can no longer smell peppermint,
uh-oh.
Can you?
Yeah.
Fish?
Yeah.
Rose?
Yeah.
Leather?
Okay.
You better make the most of your life because you have 5 years left to live.
Whoa.
If you can no longer smell those things, researchers are discovering that losing your ability to smell could mean something's up. An early warning of something serious.
Right.
According to the University of Chicago, of all the human senses, and this is quote,
Smell is the most undervalued and underappreciated until it's gone.
Yeah.
Don't panic if you can't smell your fillet of fish today, though, because researchers say this was the first study of its kind. More work needs to be done. Plus, you might just have a cold. Or Ebola. It's one of the two.
Gosh.
We don't know. Let's look at traffic.
Oh, you can't tell me I have Ebola and then tell me to look at traffic.
There's also a UFO in Arizona. We're going to talk about that later.
Nice.
Not a lot to report. I'm happy to say that most of the construction that's been on this map for the past 2 weeks is starting to disappear. That makes me happy. But one thing that's never going to stop, just like this radio station, is the Paseo and I-25 construction that's going to be going on for the next little while at least. Also, the on-ramp from I-25 at Jefferson is closed. And, of course, way down south where Doug and I decided yesterday, if you wind up in this mess, it's your own fault.
Yeah.
Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. The roadway is reduced to 2 lanes. That's your look at traffic because now it's time for something even better.
Oh, birthdays with Doug!
There he is.
Good morning, Doug.
Hello.
Hey, before we get to birthdays, I want to remind people it's day 2 of our share-a-thon. We got our operator standing by, hanging out. We're going to call him in the 7 o'clock hour to make sure the phone lines are actually
yes,
working.
Yes, we are.
1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. We're a listener-supported station. We've got some cool static swag bags with goodies from Astro Zombies
hey.
Comic Shop, Square Root Salon, $20 gift card in there from them, a coffee shop, a bookstore, all kinds of stuff, dude. You just got to give them a call.
And the next person that calls in willing to give $5,000 a month will get one free massage a month from Steve-O.
A week? No, not a month. A week. $5,000.
One free bag massage a week from Steve-O. $5,000. Just drop it.
I'm wearing a kimono. Like, dude, you tell me what to do.
Guy out there in traffic right now with $5,000 burning a hole in his pocket. This is you.
We're talking
this
to you,
This is your
buddy.
Calling.
We're talking to you, good buddy.
Today, October the 2nd, 2014, day 275. There are 90 days left in the year.
What if some creepster really called and was like, I got $5,000, shoot.
You would freaking do it.
Yeah.
That's what would happen. Doug, let's continue.
Could we, like, take turns?
No.
Bosom buddies, come on.
Don McLean.
Yes.
Boom.
Wow. Don't mess with Don McLean.
Yeah.
This is an excellent song.
Yeah. Hey, do you know who it's about?
Madonna.
No,
I'm kidding. Buddy Holly
yes.
and
Buddy Holly?
Big Bopper.
Uh-huh.
And Richie Valens.
But mostly
or
Buddy
was
Holly.
Richie Valens?
Yeah,
the
Richie
big,
Valens was in that.
Was he wasn't the same guy as a Big Bopper.
No, Big Bopper.
Those
was,
three guys
no.
they were in the same plane crash.
Chantilly Lace was Big Bopper.
Yes.
Chantilly Lace.
Yeah, but those three guys were in the same plane crash
they were.
And they called it the day the music died.
Yes.
It was very sad.
Buddy Holly from Lubbock, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Don McLean is 72.
Ooh.
80. 69 years old.
Oh! So close. So close.
Next up, an American actor, director, and sometimes a singer. He is best known for his television roles as
Patrick Stewart.
Benjamin Sisko on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, as Hawk on Spencer for Hire, and his spinoff A Man Called Hawk, and he also played Dr. Bob Sweeney in the Academy Award nominated film American History X.
Oh, who is it? Dr.
Sweeney.
Bob Sweeney.
That's the principal.
Who is it?
He was the, I just saw that 2 days ago.
Avery Brooks.
That movie is gnarly and also one of the very best. I hadn't seen it since high school, and that man... Gosh, dude.
I feel the same way about Power Rangers, the movie.
Yeah, man.
Gnarly.
He is 54.
60.
66 years old.
Whoa.
Next up, an American actress. She's best known for her roles as Dr. Jennifer Melfi on the HBO series The Sopranos. Also, as Karen Hill in the 1990s Martin Scorsese film Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Sharon Stone. Edie Falco.
I don't know.
Lauren Bracco.
Oh, Lauren Bracco. Okay. 54.
51.
60 years old.
Whoa.
Doug.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Everybody's a lot older than we're saying. Regis Philbin.
Nope.
Kelly
Ripa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Kelly Ripa. She makes me smile.
44.
42.
44 is correct.
Yeah, Kelly Ripa.
I love you, Kelly
you're
Ripa.
44 and you still look great.
When they were looking for a co-host, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm going for it. And then I didn't.
No.
Sorry, guys.
Next up.
Couldn't leave here.
Motorcycle designer.
Harley.
And TV personality.
John Harley. Michael Davidson. Daniel
Paul Tuttle
Davidson.
Jr.
Oh.
From American Chopper.
Yeah. The Jr. He's 36.
34.
40 years old.
Okay.
And the last birthday.
Gosh, birthdays are...
Oh, Sting. Solid.
Not the wrestler, but the singer.
Boom. Oh,
songwriter.
Wow. Do you remember me in the West Wind?
You didn't want to go with the Police? You were thinking, I'm going to go solo.
Let him do the solo.
Well, I wanted Sting to have his time by himself.
Yeah. Speaking of great bass players.
Yep.
Dude. This guy. So, years ago, when the Police reunited, the Buys That Are Best... one of those, like, retail stores, you know? Had this, like, contest thing online, you know? Millions will enter, few will win. Blah, 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 blah. And it was, like, because, you know, they were reissuing the Police something, something. And I tried, because I was already on the website. And I just, boom. I freaking won. VIP. Backstage passes.
Really?
To see the Police in Vegas. And I was like... dude! And I was like, yeah! All you gotta do is pay your way to Vegas, pay your stay, pay everything, 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 but here's tickets to the show / VIP.
Non-transferable. Did you sell them? No.
So I was like, I can't make it to Vegas! I don't have that kind of money! Non-transferable under my name.
You should have gone.
I totally won, like, VIP tickets
you
to the Police.
You should have gone.
How?
Why not?
I couldn't.
Oh, could have sold everything and gone.
Sell everything!
Just so I can meet Sting.
Sell all you have and give the money to the poor!
I think Chrissy cried for
or the Police.
Or give some of it to yourself and drive to Vegas.
Yeah. I still think about it every time.
You should think about it.
Dude, I think we just had Luke. Like, we couldn't afford it.
No,
new baby.
That is no excuse.
Speaking of not affording things, 1-866-730-4921. We can't afford us.
We can't even afford ourselves because we're high maintenance and we've got expensive taste.
Yeah. Day two of our share-a-thon. I ain't saying we a gold digger.
Yes?
Yeah.
Continue. What else? What else?
I forgot how the song goes.
Yeah.
Me too. I forgot.
What's the next line?
I don't remember. 1-866-730-4921. 60. Sting is 60.
61.
Sting is 63 years old.
Ah! So close.
I like Sting.
Me too.
All right. On this day in what year? Political and spiritual leader Gandhi was born.
Never saw that movie.
Yeah.
I have no reference for this.
1903.
Whatsoever.
I don't know.
1910.
1869.
Right?
Cool.
Charles. Yes.
On this day in what year, the comic strip Peanuts was first published.
Wow.
Do you know who that is playing that music?
62.
Vince
Guaraldi Trio. Yeah,
62.
53.
1950.
Whoa. Oh, man.
That was good.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone.
This same what year the Twilight Zone debuted on CBS.
Ooh. Do you remember when you rode the Tower of Terror and
it was so much
fun?
That was fantastic.
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. 1965. It was black and white. That was probably too late.
1956. 1959.
Dang it,
guys.
You're so close.
On this day in what year, Mark Furman was given 3 years probation and fined $200 after pleading no contest to perjury for denying O.J. Simpson's criminal trial that he had used a racial slur.
95.
96.
96 is correct.
Ah! Dang it!
On this day in what year?
I guessed.
A man was shot and killed in a grocery store parking lot in Wheaton, Maryland, the first victim in a series of sniper attacks in Washington, D.C. area that left 10 dead.
Okay. On the Beltway.
Yep.
Yeah, dude. I remember this. I have a friend that lived in Washington, D.C. at the time, and she said it was terrifying.
Ah! 1998. I don't remember.
Okay, let me take that. I think that's a pretty good guess.
99. 2002.
Oh,
it was
man.
Right, like, barely a year after 9/11, so okay. It was even,
I couldn't
like,
remember. Man.
This ain't what year? In Martinsburg, West Virginia, a man accused of drunken driving tried to outrun the police, but his vehicle was not up to the task. Michael Givian was driving about a mile from his home when the sheriff's deputy attempted to pull him over. Givian was allegedly sped away, but instead of speeding up to follow the deputies, hopped out of his cruiser and gave chase on foot because the man was driving his lawnmower.
Okay.
Get out of here! Get out of here, Hoss!
2007.
I would have loved to have just seen the dash cam footage where that guy goes, burn, and then the cop goes,
hey, man.
Oh, it's going to be one of those.
Just like jog next to him. Really, bro? Like, seriously?
Hey, man, you want to
cut
this out?
Please.
And then the guy, like,
my lawnmower, cut it out.
And then he, like, lowers the blade, and he's like, stay away, I'll sling a rock at you.
Nothing runs like a deer.
Okay.
Doug, that was a good one. You win, Doug.
That was so fantastic.
Just walk off the bench and knock down the three.
I think that probably happened in, like, 2009.
I said 06, right?
2007.
Ah!
Steve-O, take a second. Number one song today.
How great do you feel right now? How do you feel, Steve-O?
Shh, shh, shh.
Tell the people.
Hey. Dude. Oh, man. I've got this.
To give you a hint, she was at the time dating what would go on to be the greatest shortstop
of
in Major League Baseball history.
She dated Mickey Mantle?
Stop it. Every night, talking sweet and looking fine. Okay, I don't know the song at all. This was post Black Dress.
Do you remember like the opening sting in Rush Hour where the little girl's like in the car singing?
Yep. Okay, wait. Okay. Okay. Wait. I'm gonna get this.
I like the remix though.
Derek Jeter was a rookie in 1996, right? Was it 96?
He first came up with the Yankees in 95.
95, okay.
The end of the 95 season.
So, he had to establish himself as Derek Jeter before Mariah Carey would date him. I want to say 99 or 2000, so I'm going to go millennium here. I'm going to say the year was 2000.
1997.
1995.
Dang it! Whoa! Really?
Yep.
Wow! Derek Jeter!
Today is Poetry Day, Custodial Workers Day, and Name Your Car Day.
He didn't have to establish nothing! He's Derek Jeter! Woo! We have a great show for you today.
We do.
I'm excited. It is day two of our three-day share-a-thon. Our friends from the Aspen Project and Project Zoe coming in. We'll be talking with the Schroffs. We'll be also talking with our boys, Pastor Jarrett Preacho, Brian Nixon, the 9 o'clock hour, bringing in Dr. Stephen Collins and his esteemed colleague friend. Oh, man. It is day two of a three-day share-a-thon. We only do 3 days, but we are listener-supported. Here's our belief. We believe that you love this station so much that we don't have to go a week or 2 weeks of dragging it out and asking for money because you understand that we're listener-supported, that we're non-commercial, that we need your help, and you will respond. So please respond. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Quick break. Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No. Static.
and it'll be fun.
This is going to be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, because a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever. Careful, traffic.
Good morning, everybody. We have an accident to report.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it's going to be a rough one. Accident left lane is blocked. Paseo Del Norte East at 2nd.
Ooh.
This is going to be a big one. Left lane's blocked. Paseo Del Norte East at 2nd. I recommend a different route.
There you go.
Because it's going to get stacked. Also, I-25 in Paseo, there's construction. The on-ramp at I-25 in Jefferson is closed. And we have the roadway reduced to 2 lanes due to construction. Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to day 2 of Static Radio's 3-day share-a-thon. Now, we were just over at Solomon's Porch, who was kind enough to hook us up with some cool stuff for the share-a-thon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coffee shop here on the Calvary campus. Also, Parchment's bookstore right next door. Got some gift cards from them, as well as a $20 gift card to Square Root Salon. And Astro Zombies Comic Shop, cool enough to hook us up with something. We got a static swag bag with all those goodies in there, and we got a record, thanks to the beautiful Gallows.
Yeah, vinyl's in that thing.
Dude, here's the thing. We need your help. We're a listener-supported station. We were just over at Sopo talking to our boy Ian, who runs Sopo, and he was letting us know that, let's see, Family Life Radio.
They did a share-a-thon.
K-Love and Air One
did a share-a-thon.
Yeah, they just did. They've all done their share-a-thon.
In the
all
past listener few weeks.
Supported, yeah. All listener supported. We are a non-commercial station. And so maybe you're tired of hearing about that. Hearing about how everybody's listener supported and everybody needs cash.
Yeah.
But if you love Static Radio,
we need
it
too.
I highly encourage you to support it, because it would suck not to be able to be a part of the community and what's going on. We do love what we are doing. And maybe the phone lines just aren't working.
Maybe not.
Because we've been walking by, checking out the operators.
And they're just chilling.
Yeah. So I'm going to make sure.
Another easy day ahead.
Make sure the phone line's actually working. It's 1-866-730-4921. Let's see. 1-866-730-4921. Oh, it rang.
Thank you for calling Domino's. Who this?
Ugh.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey. That's not what I was hoping for. It was really... Is this Domino's?
This Domino's.
Okay. I was hoping to get to the Static Radio Share-a-thon. Is that why this is not? We're not getting any supporters? Has people been calling you for us?
What do you mean?
We're a radio station. We're listener supported. Oh, no.
Maybe that's what's up.
Well, no wonder nobody's calling in. We've had one person.
One person today.
One person all morning call in and donate. And now I'm starting to think why. 1-866-730-4921. Okay. Let's try this again.
Try it again.
Maybe somebody just told it. What was that?
Yep.
Hello?
Hello?
Yep.
Hi. Is this the...
Is this Static Radio Share-a-thon?
Nope.
What's your name?
Jim.
Jeb, listen, we work at a radio station here in Albuquerque. We're listener-supported, 501c3. Would you like to donate to our station?
Nope.
Well, that's not the number I was hoping for.
Jeb, do you know radio still?
Don't call this number dead.
Okay, well, maybe that's... Okay. Gosh!
I feel like that might be why nobody is donating.
Donating. This whole time I thought it was us, and people just don't care about T-Boss and Morning Party. Okay. One more time. 1-866-730-4921.
Let's see what happens.
Come on.
This further.
What is happening?
What is that?
I have no idea, but it's freaking me out.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello?
Is this a Static Radio Share-a-thon?
No.
Okay. Gosh.
Who is this?
Jarga.
Jargum?
Sargum?
Did we call Norway?
Yeah!
Okay.
Do you like chocolate?
No, that's Switzerland.
Switzerland likes chocolate?
Yeah.
What is happening? Oh, ma'am.
Do you want to donate money to our radio station?
No! Okay. Your music is bad.
Oh, gosh! Okay, well, sweet. Gosh! No wonder! This whole time, that's why we're not getting... See, we were so discouraged yesterday because we had four amazing people.
Yeah.
Call in for the 13 hours.
I like working long hours and getting minimal to no response.
13 hours yesterday. Four. And so we were thinking maybe, just maybe, it was us. The bosses were thinking the same thing.
This is what's happening.
We were like trying to prove that Team Austin Morning Party was innovative in doing something cool. Please don't fire us.
And now they're just kind of giving us that look like, you got two more days, buddy.
Yeah.
Two more days.
So, no, it's no wonder.
Dawn's texting me saying, hey, how's Nashville looking? What about it?
Static!
What's going on, guys?
What up?
Hey!
Man, you cannot write that stuff.
Well, I mean, you know.
Well, you can.
It's no wonder that our share-a-thon sucks so badly. This whole time, we thought the phone lines were connecting to our share-a-thon operators, but turns out
they're going to Jeb.
Going to Jeb.
Sure enough, good old Jeb.
Some chick in Norway. Great, Pat in Las Cruces.
Woo! Whoa, man, guys.
Hi.
Hey. I hope you guys, did those t-shirts work out?
Yeah! They're really
swag
awesome!
Bag.
Yeah, thank you
so much.
Are they
going in the swag bags?
You know, we haven't put them in swag bags. We haven't even talked to our bosses yet about these things. They're amazing!
Do it, dude. Something. Yeah, you need to give those things away.
We got to do something because thank you, Lopez family out in Las Cruces, for being faithful Static Fanatics because, not going to lie, yesterday was a little discouraging.
We had an
entire four people call in and donate over the 13 hours we were broadcasting live.
Pretty rocking.
Pat, you're in Las Cruces listening through a translator city. Tell us why you support Static Radio financially.
Oh, man. How many ways can I tell you? Holy cow.
Dude, we've got 12 hours to go. So
yeah, you can make up as many,
many
as you want.
Bro, as many.
You know what, guys? I don't know what our family would do without this radio station. That's how much you guys mean to us. Keeping us plugged in, keeping us encouraged throughout, not just the morning, I mean, throughout the day. We listen to it practically all day. Mm. I mean, I don't know, I really, seriously, don't know what this family would do without you guys. And I think that the people in Albuquerque are so blessed that you guys are just right there.
Yeah.
And we do what we can. I mean, we were at the concert. We got to hang out with you guys a little bit.
That was awesome.
I wish we could do it more.
I know.
But you know what? Gosh, you guys just don't know what you guys mean to us and the community here in Las Cruces.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for that. It's refreshing. Definitely could have used some encouragement this morning, Pat in Las Cruces. You are providing that. So thank you, man.
Hey, throw me back over to who's going to collect my money here?
I can't throw you back over. I'm just a lowly DJ person. You have to call the 1-866 number.
I'll call the 800 number.
There you go. Thanks, Pat.
All right, guys. I'll make sure it's working.
There you go. Woo! Thanks, man.
Yeah, we'll do something.
Beautiful. Thanks, bro.
Love you guys.
Love you
Take
too.
Care, man.
All right. Pat in Las Cruces. Mm. Very cool. One of our translator cities down
That's
south.
Awesome.
In fact, he sent us some t-shirts courtesy of Barnett Harley Davidson in
Boom.
Las Cruces. We do have some of those. What we need to do is just grab that box and say, hey, the next however many people who donate, we can
get
throw
a Harley
them in the
Davidson
swag
t-shirt.
Bag. Yeah, on top of everything else you're going to get in the swag bag.
Let's do it.
Maybe that'll help. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Static!
Hello?
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Mateo.
Hey. It's Mom Fernando.
Hey, Mom Fernando.
Zachariah has a beef to pick with Mateo. Hang on.
Let's hear it.
His name is Zachariah's mom. Mom Fernando's kid again.
Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy.
I just passed on my test.
You passed your test?
Uh-huh.
You did? Awesome. That's awesome.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Are you excited?
I was going to talk to you about the sheep saying bleep, 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 bleep.
Yeah.
The sheep that say bleep, bleep, bleep.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
Well, when I was at home,
mm-hmm.
I said that, then mom started talking to my brothers,
mm-hmm.
and then they said, no.
No, they said the sheep says bah, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
You're just smarter than them,
I guess. Here's the thing, Zachariah. Sheep say both of those
things. They really do. So, we're glad that we are on the education band.
Yeah.
So
we need you to know these things.
Yeah. You're welcome for making me smarter.
Secret conference. I need Mateo to be here and talk to my teacher.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. You're gonna have to go talk to the teacher.
I'll see what I can do, Zachariah.
I don't know how soon we can get out to Gallup, New Mexico. It's
not gonna happen, but I'll try.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everybody. Gallup, New Mexico. That's cool, man. We've just had a couple calls from translator cities.
That's good.
505-338-3700 is our phone number. But right now, we need you to call our operators. 1-866-730-4921. Pat in Las Cruces just called. Great reminder. We got a box in yesterday.
Yeah.
With some rad t-shirts, courtesy of Barnett Harley Davidson down in Las Cruces. And we can stuff the next few, right?
We can.
I'm sure our operators are going to be stoked that we're going to do that.
Totally,
we're
going to
do that. But you got to call 1-866-730-4921. We'll hook you up with the Static swag bag. We've got, now apparently, t-shirts courtesy of Barnett Harley Davidson mm-hmm. in Las Cruces. We have gift cards to Astro Zombies, to Square Root Salon, also Parchment's Bookstore, and Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop. Whew!
Lots of stuff,
dude. Coming up, some Run River North. And, of course, more of this year's show. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
Good morning, Albuquerque. This is Team Awesome Morning Party. Mateo. Steve-o.
What?
Going to give you a little update on that accident on Paseo. And Paseo eastbound is starting to get stacked. Highly recommend an alternate route. Starting back at Coors, and then as soon as you turn on Paseo to go east, you're getting locked down. There is an accident at Paseo and 2nd Street. The left lane is blocked, and so it is bottlenecked. It's going to be slow going. Looks like once you reach that accident at the 2nd, though, it definitely speeds back up. But I'm just saying, alternate route might be advisable. 40 eastbound, where it intersects with Coors, is a little stacked up. And we have construction I-25 at Paseo. We have an on-ramp closed at I-25 in Jefferson, and we have construction. The roadway is reduced to 2 lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard, Southwest. That's your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop here on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. It's 505-338-3669. Speaking of SoPo,
yeah,
they've been cool enough to hook us up with gift cards, along with Parchment's Bookstore, Astro Zombies Comic Shop, Square Root Salon, and we got a box full of really rad t-shirts, courtesy of Barnett Harley Davidson in Las Cruces. If you call up now to support Static Radio, we will totally hook you up with the swag bag full of all of those goodies. Now, the t-shirts, we only got a handful of those t-shirts, so you got to call now, become a Static Fanatic. Now, what is a Static Fanatic? That is a $30 monthly giver to this ministry. We're listener supported. We need your help. It is that time of year. We only do it twice a year for a couple days. And honestly, guys, we could use some encouragement and some support, some affirmation that we are doing, well, something that you love.
Yes.
So if you believe in Static Radio, if this is something you care about, then please lend your support, because we, as I said, are listener supported. Now, the good news is 100% of the proceeds go to Static Radio and fully tax deductible as a 501c3 nonprofit ministry.
Totally.
So
here's the thing. You might be feeling a little tapped out. We do these things twice a year, and we realize that other radio stations in the area that are probably More inclined to be the same kind of listenership that we have, notably Christian people.
Yeah.
Maybe you're a little tapped out money-wise. Well, here's the deal. Just tell a friend. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you can't up your game a little bit on the monthly donation, or if you can't donate anything this time, totally understand. Don't feel bad about it. Just tell a friend about the station, because we still need help. Need a lot of help. And we're listener-supported. There's nothing wrong with you telling somebody. Maybe they'll help us out. You never know.
You and I are both static fanatics.
Yes.
Because we believe in what we do.
Doug is, too.
Doug's a static fanatic. Believing in what we do here at the station. And so if you believe in what's going on here, if you just love the hilarity, the stupidity, or coming up 9 o'clock hour, Theology Thursday, our boy Jarrett Petro going to be in studio with us along with Dr. Stephen Collins, archaeologist and discoverer of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the historicity of things like that.
That's pretty cool.
How we can accurately prove the Bible. Because of these archaeological findings. And so we're excited about that. That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Some different resources we provide for you. So if you believe in it, please give us a call. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. We're excited, dude.
Did you hear what Celeste and I were talking about yesterday?
I didn't!
We were talking about how... And I, when I was with House Heroes in Nashville, the guy that's producing the Christmas EP, his name's Jay.
Yeah.
He's like a producer guy. He had some buddies come over one night. They're kind of my generation. I guess my generation is called Generation Y.
Why?
I don't know. Are you Generation X? I didn't know. I was telling Celeste, I was like, I don't know if Steve-O's X or Y, because you're right on the border.
The border.
You're the very border. Yeah. You got the baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Y, and millennials now. And Jay was saying, and he was definitely having like a debate with his friends. He said it went to all hours of the morning, and it was laced with profanity and fueled by alcohol and all this stuff. But anyway, there was some amazing points that came out of it. He was talking about how, for some reason, baby boomers and Generation X, no problem with paying for things that they like.
Yeah.
No problem with it. Totally. Yeah. Big example from him, music, because he's a music producer.
Yeah.
He's like, there's not an issue. If they like something, they will invest in it. They will pay money for it. Millennials, believe it or not, there's a bigger trend for millennials to invest in things they like. We look at art.
Yeah.
Totally backing it up. And you look at streaming services, which really don't give crap to the musician, but people are signing up to pay for them, like RDO and Spotify and
Beats by Dre.
Yeah, you get the premium and iTunes. People are way more inclined now, iTunes, Android Market, to just click something on their phone and purchase. But for some reason, my generation, Generation Y, we think if something is good, then it should inherently also be free.
Like, you have a right to it.
There's a right to it. Yeah. Like, for some reason, despite it being created by somebody else or put on by somebody else, if we like it, we still see no reason to pay for it. The big thing happened when I was in high school, Napster came out.
Yeah.
Which changed the game of not only the music industry, but the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
All together. And he said it was so funny because... one of the guys that he was talking to, like, they could not understand. They refused to understand. They're like, it's not stealing. I'm not stealing anything from them. I'm literally just copying a file on the internet. That's not stealing. It's already there. I'm just copying it. And so one of the guys was a freelance photographer, and this was his example he used. He was like, okay. And you got to know Jay. He's
right.
He's a very pointed individual.
Yeah.
So anyway... he was just like, okay, well, let's put it this way. Say I pay you to take a photograph for me. I pay you to take it. Would you take it? And he said, yes. He was like, okay. And then you send me the file in my email. You send it to me. You send me a high-resolution, awesome file of the photo because that's what I paid you to do.
Yeah.
And that's what you're expected to do. And the guy's like, yeah, that's my job. That's what I did. He's like, okay, I really like the picture. And so I put it up on my Facebook. And don't give you credit at all. And I just put it up there. And anybody can go and click it and copy it.
Yep.
And then take that file. And then let's say it's the best picture that's ever been taken. And all of a sudden it ends up in Walmart. And, Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Or what have you in the little picture frames. It's in Target. It's everywhere.
It's the big it's the biggest
picture.
It's a picture,
ever. Like when you buy a frame,
it's the picture. Picture.
It's the picture in there.
Man.
And he was like, "And you don't get any credit." He said, "Did I steal from you?" And the guy was like, "Well, no, I would just have to deal with it." That's what he said. That's what he freaking said. It was Jay, and Jay said at that point he kicked him out of his house. He's like, "Get out.
Get out.
Get out of my house.
If you can't have a grown-up conversation."
Yeah. And he said there's just with my generation, there's just this thing where we don't understand. We see no reason to have to pay for something despite it being good, even if we love it and we look at it as, you know, something that is important to us. For some reason, we're like, I shouldn't have to pay for that. There's no reason.
The biggest music festival of the year in Albuquerque for many, many years was at Cliffs Amusement Park. It was over 4th of July weekend originally, and then they moved it to Labor Day weekend. That's why it was originally called Freedom Fest, because it was 4th of July weekend. It was one of the biggest. It was the biggest.
Yeah.
You know, and then Edge Fest came about and blah, 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 blah. The station is celebrating 40 years, by the way, this next year. You know what I mean? It's been around for a long time. But somewhere along the way, slowly over the years, people found out, hey, wait, if I just pay the dollar admission to Cliffs Amusement Park, I still get to get into Freedom Fest, and I don't have to pay for a ticket to see the bands.
Right.
I can just pay that dollar admission.
I can just get in for
what they didn't realize at the time was by doing that, it was giving $0 to the ministry that was bringing those bands out.
Yeah.
And then that station, KLYT, M88, Static Radio, couldn't afford to bring out bands anymore because they lost thousands and thousands of dollars because people were inclined to just pay that $1 because it was like, what's the cheapest way that I can do this without thinking about the cost?
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you love Static Radio and you're like, I don't need to give, this is stupid, I'm tuning out until Monday, think about the cost. If there were no Static Radio.
Yeah. I mean, well, here's one cost.
I don't mean to be that dramatic, but you know what?
Yeah, I know.
Without support,
we can't do it.
We can't do this.
I guess we're falling into dramatics because we're both kind of taken back because the last Share-a-thon was really
shocked.
And I think it's probably a lot to do with the fact that Christmas is around the corner. There were other major radio stations in the area that are kind of our thing, sort of.
Yeah.
And they catered to part of our audience.
Right.
And they just did Share-a-thons. There's probably a lot of stuff. So we're not trying to put a guilt trip on you.
Absolutely.
We're
not.
Just trying. There's probably people out there listening that don't really understand the importance.
Yeah.
Like, why are you guys always asking for money? The funniest Christian meme I've ever seen is, well, not ever seen, but one of the funniest, one of the more poignant ones is the one that says, if money is the root of all evil, which is a misquote, but if money is the root of all evil, then why do churches ask for it all the time?
Right.
Totally get it. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Something we've been experiencing lately, what happens to a church when the focus is purely money.
Yeah.
Because that is the love of money.
Right.
That is the love and the worship of money.
Yeah.
And so, just to say it, if you don't give us anything, this station is going to keep going. I firmly and truly believe that the Lord will provide, if not through you, then through something.
Yeah, because somebody will.
Yeah,
somebody will call.
But there's also the practicality of just saying, hey, we need your help.
Yeah.
If you can, please help us out.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing. It's listener support, and if you enjoy it, it's like Matt Gentry said yesterday, if you like it, why not support it?
Absolutely. Here's what we're asking. We need Static Fanatics. $30 a month to become a Static Fanatic. In return, we want to hook you up because, you know, You give, you receive something. We're going to give you a Static swag bag in there. There's a t-shirt right now, courtesy of Barnett Harley Davidson in Las Cruces. We also have a gift card to Square Root Salon, $20 to Square Root Salon. We also have a gift from Astro Zombies Comic Shop, from Parchment's Bookstore, from Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop.
Yeah.
So we need your support. We need your help. Please call us. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, 8 o'clock hour. We've got the Schroffs in studio. We're going to be talking a little Project Zoe, some Aspen Project, and ways that you can help out in the community. But please, call us up. It's it's day two of our three-day Share-a-thon. That's it, 3 days.
3 days.
Not going to bum you out for weeks on end.
Booyah.
1-866-730-4921. Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
No.
Static. Kicking off your 8 o'clock hour strong.
Yeah.
Team Awesome Morning Party, welcome, welcome, welcome to day two of our three-day share-a-thon. Trying not to inundate you with begginess.
Begginess.
So we're just going to let you know the phone number, 1-866-730-4921. If this is the first time you've heard that we are a listener-supported station. It's true, non-commercial, that's why you don't hear all those 8 minutes of crappy commercial radio where people are hitting you up for cars and beer.
Cars and beer.
However, we could use some car and beer money.
What's wrong with cars?
Nothing.
Nothing. We need them to get around.
It pays the bills.
It does pay the bills.
We depend upon support from listeners to pay our bills.
We do. And actually, we have, we had somebody call in. It was Sarah, our friend.
Yeah.
And they're already Static Fanatics, but she was calling in to give us some encouragement, and we really appreciate it. So if you can't call in and donate, we love the encouragement.
We really do. And go like us on Facebook. Go share us on Facebook. We need that support as well to get the word out. Mm. Because if you can't, maybe somebody you know can. Maybe you know somebody who owns a local business.
Spread the word.
We are non-commercial. We are a 501c3, which means all of the donations are tax deductible. So maybe there's a business out there that's like, end of year, we got to dump some of this cash in a non-profit so we can get a tax return something.
Something.
We need help, man. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. In studio right now, our boy Clay Schroff.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, stay off Paseo del Norte. Mm.
Does it suck?
It sucks.
Okay.
That's what's wrong with cars.
That's what's wrong, yes.
Paseo del Norte is what's wrong
with cars. I tried to fly here, but it didn't work so well.
Also, what's wrong with cars are alternators, radiators, anything that
intake
ends with
aiders, manifolds.
Intake manifolds.
Aiders.
No bigs.
Haters gonna hate, y'all.
Yeah, so I got to go pick up my car again. Third time in this month it's been at that shop.
Yep.
Yeah, shout out to 1999 cars.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Hoopty!
At the century.
Dude. So it's good.
I drive a hoopty.
I probably could have afforded a car payment for like 2 years with what I've put in over the last month. So
that's true.
Thinking, Clay, if you know anybody who sells cars.
Yeah. That's not funny. Hey, but let's talk about what's important.
Yeah, let's please.
First of all, thank you, thank you, thank you. Everybody showed up for Project Zoe's first birthday party.
Yeah, that's right, this last Sunday.
It was huge. It turned out really, really well. I know a lot of people were running in camouflage.
We were there. We were at the camo run.
A lot of them actually came over after, and it was awesome.
That's awesome. Good.
Doing big things. Yeah. And you know what? And I'm going to say this, and this is just to tell you guys. You know, Project Zoe is out there reaching out to at-risk girls. And my wife, we don't solicit the organizations to come.
Yeah.
And we have so many worldly organizations, ones that would never identify themselves with Christianity, coming through. And, you know, one of the things is we have a statement of grace. Mm-hmm. And that basically we won't preach to or at the girls. But we also don't hide our faith. So there's a line there.
Yeah.
But the girls that we're reaching out to... you know, they are girls that would otherwise not be caught in the shadow of a church. And the reason is because they've been judged by the people of Christ instead of by Christ. And, you know, Christ paid a pretty big debt, and that's really what we pass on to them. And I really look at that as ministry, and there are people out there right now who are driving, who are listening. You guys had a lot of supporters last time.
Yeah.
And I want the past people to know, the people who have supported Aspen Project, Project Zoe, and Static Radio. You know, in November 16th, we're having a little, we were going to do like an Orphan Sunday, but we're so much more than orphan.
Yeah.
You know what? Just to let you know who we are, we team with any organization or people group that is about caring for children and ultimately imprinting Christ on that child's heart so that they can make it to our forever home.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at, you know, and we kind of team with folks. So, you know, we're inviting folks in like CareNet, Pregnancy Center, because they care about the child while they're still in the womb. Mm-hmm. You know, we're caring with Reload Love because they're going out in the foreign countries and just doing amazing
things.
CYFD, even though they're not a Christian organization, are allowing Christians to plug in and care for these at-risk youth. I'm having adoption agencies there. But, you know, one of the people that we've invited, and you guys know this, is Static Radio. Mm-hmm. And we partner with you guys every Thursday.
Yeah.
My wife comes on Wednesday with Mitch. And you know, can I just tell you, listeners, it's making a difference. You guys don't have any idea the response that we get. And it's from a different kind of folk. Yeah. And a lot of these people, just like the folks that go through Project Zoe, wouldn't be caught in the shadow of a church, mm-hmm. you know? But it's the first step. You know, and I'm going to come back to that. We had 8 girls from the Reintegration Center that came to through Project Zoe.
Right.
And we invited them to the O2 experience. 8 of them. 6 of them went forward and accepted Christ.
That's huge.
That's huge. Now, that's an eternal difference. If one of them would have came forward, it would have made a difference. I don't think the listeners understand the impact. You know what? There are stations that do, what do you call it? What do you call it when you monitor how many people are listening?
And, the rating system, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, getting the ratings.
Right? And that's a radio station. I don't think people get that this is a mission field.
Yeah.
You know, and I come in sometimes and you guys are tired because you guys have stayed up late. You guys hate these.
Yesterday we were broadcasting for 13 hours doing that, you know, like kind of hitting the microphone over and over, saying the same thing. And, you know, we feel like we're very repetitive. So, of course, we don't like being vulnerable and having to ask for money. But the truth is, yeah, we are listener supported. Without that financial help, we won't be around. You know, in this culture, in this world, it takes money to pay your bills. I wish we could tell that O2 experience story to PNM and say, hey, man, we can't pay the electric bill this month, but 6 people came forward and accepted Jesus. And they'd say, that's great. Where's our money? And we'd say, oh, right, because it does still require money to run this ministry. So,
you know, when David asked for the property and the guy said, no, I'm going to just give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. And this one really sticks in my heart. And David said, no, I'm not giving the Lord nothing that doesn't cost me personally something. Yeah. It's not a gift to the Lord.
Yeah.
And but my point is, there are already listeners that have already given.
Yeah, dude, 280 static fanatics.
And we are so thankful because you have made a difference. You know, when you get to the kingdom of heaven, when you get to heaven, you know, part of that credit for people becoming or being saved and coming out of the darkness is the fact that somebody sacrificed, you know, and I love the story of the person who gave a bunch, and then you have the widow lady who gave all that she had. And we're not asking for everything.
Yeah.
You know, as Aspen Project and Project Zoe, we don't want everything. You know, God owns all the cattle on all the hills. God's going to take care of this ministry because it's making a difference in the night.
Yeah.
It's just a privilege. It's a privilege for us as an organization to come alongside organizations such as yours, another ministry. A ministry doesn't mean that we have to be in the jungles. Speaking of jungles, think about this. If you think you got problems, I want to encourage you to let you know that these are first world problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not third world problems.
Right.
You know, I did my taxes and freaked the heck out, and I had a very worldly guy at work remind me that's a first world problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how blessed I was to have to pay that much in taxes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how but to be real about it, it's true.
That
you know, I have
true.
All my vaccinations.
Yeah.
My kids are fed. I sleep in a warm or a cool house.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go over and get a coffee.
I mean, you have running water. I mean, there are places where that's not even, clean water.
It's true.
So
that's so true.
So, you know, just like the missionary who's willing to go into the darkness of the jungle, you have radio stations like this that is a true ministry that is reaching into the darkness of society. You know, these guys do more than just speak on the air. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been there to support us through thick and thin. And we need more Christians. Listen, get off your couches. Get away from your work. Go out into the streets.
Yeah.
You know, we'll plan a day. This is what we're going to do. We're going to plan a day to all go meet down at Central, and we're going to love the heck out of everyone that comes by around those clubs on a Saturday night. We're not going to preach at them. We're all going to love them. We're going to ask all the listeners to do it. But if you're not willing to do stuff like that, can I tell you that Static Radio is already reaching into those dark corners? You have people listening to this station that won't even tell their friends they're listening because they're in such darkness, but they get a glimmer of hope and light. And if you guys listen, the listeners listen.
Yeah.
You guys hear the gospel. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he sacrificed all of heaven to come down here and get beaten and tortured and then finally pinned to a cross and die for my sins, mine, and for yours, and for everybody's. And this station tells that. So here's what I want to encourage. Everyone should be on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, if you are on Facebook, you should be Static's friend.
Yeah.
And tell your friends, to friend them. Pass it on. Because we need more people listening, number one. Number two, reach a little deeper. Tell your bosses. Go to your boss. If you have a Christian boss, let's just start there. If you have a boss and he or she claims to be a Christian and they're not donating to the mission field in Albuquerque where you run a business, encourage them to do so. Mm. You know, there's so many missions, Aspen Project, Project Zoe, and I hear so many during the week as I listen that you're making an impact in reaching out to the community before. So, you know, you're passing it on. So you're not just donating to Static Radio. You're also donating to Project Zoe, Aspen Project. Mm. You're putting at-risk kids in good Christian homes where they hear the gospel. You know, we're reaching out to the prostitute on the street, and they come through Project Zoe. You know what I mean? And there are countless missionaries here in Albuquerque that are, and there's, listen, there are so many doing more than we're doing. They're out going into the strip clubs that we come alongside and we get to highlight them on these shows.
Yeah.
It's making a difference. So, you know, it's money. You know, you can't take none of this with you when you go. Mm-hmm. If you guys can figure out how to get U-Hauls at the, to get towed to your last resting site, you know, with all your stuff, you let me know because I'm going to start that business.
There you go.
That's but let's be honest, you can't.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't take none of it with us when we go.
And here's the thing. Static Fanatics, we have, as I said, 288 now.
That's awesome.
It's incredible. A fraction of the likes, we have over 6,000 fans on Facebook. So what is that, like 3%? Of the people that listen at least through Facebook and like us through Facebook, mm-hmm. we need more. We need your help. It costs almost $50,000 a month to run this ministry between all of our translator cities. As Clay said, we do go out into the community. We reach all the way out through New Mexico, through all of our translators, into Arizona, Southern Colorado, West Texas. We have three full power, one here in Albuquerque, of course, out in Mentmore, Gallup, right?
Mentmore.
Cannon Air Force Base, Clovis. We have so there are a lot. We got calls this morning from Gallup. We got call from Las Cruces.
We've been
this
getting
morning.
Calls from not Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's been interesting. So Albuquerque, where are you at? We need your help. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. We're a listener-supported station. We need Static Fanatics. That means you donate $30 a month to the ministry. As I said, there's 288, I believe, Static Fanatics as of right now. That is incredible. People who believe in this ministry enough to donate, to give. And the funny thing is, you're right, man. A lot of people listening don't really get the gist of that, of what it is to be a ministry, because maybe they're the ones being ministered to. So if you get it, if you are one of those people that understands the ministry of Static Radio and believe in it, you are the one. You are the person that should be calling the phone number, not those people that are just the fans on Facebook that, as you said, wouldn't darken the door of a church. We're not asking them for money. We're asking you, you who believe in the ministry, you who understand, you who get what we're doing. 1-866-730-4921. Dude, thank you so much for coming in.
No, I love coming in. And thank you for always being so willing to get the word out of what we're doing.
Yeah, dude, we posted everything on Facebook. Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. There's a link for the Aspen Project, for Project Zoe, for everything that you guys are doing. The fact that you just celebrated 1 year was absolutely huge.
And thanks to the listeners, because I'm going to tell you something. There are so many static listeners that bring clothes, and they don't bring the junk.
Yeah.
They bring nice clothes. They bring newer, like new clothes, and they drop them off here at the station. Guys, newer, like new, fashionable clothes for these girls. They're 13 to 25 years old. And can I tell you that it ain't about the clothing? It's about saving souls, and it's working. But static listeners are loyal. Mm-hmm. Loyal. If you're a business, I know you guys just want the $30. Guys, there's businesses out there that are making so much money.
Yeah.
So much. If you're a business, come on,
we're
help
nonprofit.
Us out.
We are a 501c3.
It's
going
to help you financially, but don't do it for that. Do it because it expands the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And I wish there was more stories. If you're a story, that's what we need. Yeah. Call us. Yeah. If you don't have money, I'm in. I understand. Call and just, you know what? Pray for these folks, because they are under attack constantly, because you know why? Because it's working. Because they're making a difference. So I'm just so thankful for you guys as listeners because I see it firsthand. When you guys announce it on the radio, things happen. Mm-hmm. So keep bringing in your clothes or like new clothes or gift cards for the clothing stores, but also come alongside and tell people. Everyone should go on their Facebook right now and share a static link and ask everyone to link up.
There you go.
That's what you should do.
There you go. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you, Clay.
All right, we got to take a quick look at traffic,
yes,
and we'll get back into the music.
Don't go to Paseo!
He's right, folks. Paseo is still a mess.
Look at that red line that's known as a street. I am refreshing
so we can know for sure.
Yeah.
And there it is. Okay, yeah, Paseo is still a mess. It looks like people have been trying to go down Coors maybe as an alternative route, and that, too, is getting stacked up. I-40 eastbound right around... This is Coors, right? I-40 eastbound where it intersects with Coors, I guess. It's kind of stacked up. I don't know if there's an accident or what, but we do have a couple of accidents. Two lanes are blocked at Montgomery Boulevard and Juan Tabo Boulevard.
Mm.
Accident there. Also up in Rio Rancho, an accident's been reported at Southern Boulevard and Unser. That's close to Southern Automotive.
Yeah. It's where my car is. Hopefully they weren't taking it out for a spin.
They took your car
out. They took my car out.
They took it out. Also, I-25 in Paseo, lots of construction there. We have an on-ramp closed I-25 north at Jefferson. And the construction down at Rio Bravo Boulevard and Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That roadway reduced to two lanes. Be careful and pay attention to what you're doing out there because it's kind of crazy.
There you go. It is day two of our Share-a-thon traffic this hour brought to you by... Well, you, hopefully. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. You can also donate online, mystaticradio.com. Please help us.
Go for it.
It's Team Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
All I want is to begin right here. I will never forget. All I need is to release my fears when I'm standing on the edge.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Yes!
Hey.
Welcome.
Guys, I'm so thankful for Clay Schroff.
Me too. I am jazzed and rejuvenated and excited. Yesterday, you and I broadcasted for 13 hours.
Well, I think mine... Let's see. I did it.
Long days.
It was a long day. I had a little break in mine, but then totally... I really enjoyed doing the afternoon.
You went to the gym. That's not a break. Ugh.
It got me more energy.
Ugh.
It afforded me more energy.
It really did, though. I came back in. I was jazzed.
You came in strong, literally.
I got to do the afternoon... And I've always, you know, you always, when you're a kid, you like, I don't know, I guess I just associate radio with the 5 o'clock afternoon drive time, blah, blah, blah. So it's different doing a morning show and then getting to do the afternoon and trying
after
not.
After doing the morning
show. Trying not to completely derail Celeste.
Dude.
Because we are totally random.
Wait, why would
we not want to?
That was amazing
yesterday. It was fun.
If you missed yesterday's afternoon show, you're going to have to chime in today because, you know, it's day two of our three-day share-a-thon, and we're here for the long haul. We're hanging out with you.
We ain't going nowhere.
We are in studio. Mitch is going to be in. We got the webcam going all day long. We want to thank every person for making 8 o'clock today the best hour of the share-a-thon so far.
It's
been fantastic.
It has been. We want to thank Clay for coming in and speaking.
Yeah, man. And to everybody, if you missed it, if you're just joining us, we are a listener-supported station. If you believe in what Static Radio is doing, we believe we're pioneering something different. We're playing the best freaking music in the world.
Yes.
We really are. We've got the most irreverent morning show.
We do.
We've
been called irreverent.
And Baxter.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Yeah. They get described with like cool words, and we get words like irreverent, stupid,
and
waste of time.
Wouldn't take you home to my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we're like, yeah, right. We're sweet guys. You would totally take us home to your mom.
You totally would.
Totally would.
Absolutely.
And then your mom would be like, I really like that boy. And then the girl would be like, oh, that's the clincher then. Friend zone.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude.
Gosh, Mom, why you ruin everything?
Man, when I was a kid, that was me. I was the kid that all of the parents really liked. They were like, that's a good dude. That's
great.
A good dude. And all of immediately when the parents said that, all the daughters were like, no, I like so-and-so, the ruffian.
Maybe you're one of those parents listening. You owe him.
You owe me.
1-866-730-4921. You're the reason Matt was in the friend zone forever.
Thanks, guys.
You know who you are, parent. Because of that, we need you to call in. We're a listener-supported station. Shout out to Barnett Harley-Davidson in Las Cruces for the t-shirts. Shout out to Square Root Salon for the $20 gift card. Astro Zombies gave us a gift card as well. Mm-hmm. We got Parchments Bookstore, Solomon's Porch Coffee Shop, a swag bag, if you will. You get all of that for becoming a monthly contributor. We need your support. We need your help.
I love it when people come by. Yesterday, our boy Heem came by.
Yes.
He was trying to get Thor number one out of us. We refused.
I feel like a jerk. I should have just given it to him. It was mine.
No.
It was mine.
No.
Okay.
We have to stand for something.
I will give you the Thor off my back.
No. Now, why are you carrying Thor around?
I have no idea.
And it's a girl now.
It is a girl now. Love her.
Anyway, Keem came by just to say hello and hang out. And that was really... I like it when
and
people
donate.
Come by. Yeah.
It was cool. Came in, lent his support. Thanks to everybody who has chimed in this morning who said, dude, I love you. You're my favorite radio station. Not only that, I believe in the ministry that you are doing. I believe the work that you are doing. If you are one of those people and believe in what we're doing, we're not asking for the fringe listener who maybe just found us in
this is not for
Ohio
you.
From the House of Heroes show. Or
if
the,
you're new,
those people.
We're not asking you for your money.
You just put the visitor card in the little coffer box. You're good.
We're all talking to the people that have been with us for a while.
This is the dedicated,
they
static
like us.
Fanatic who believes in the ministry, who believes in the work we are doing in the name of Jesus Christ. This is for you. And this is where you need to step up, because we are listener supported, and without your support, we wouldn't be able to be here. 1-866-730-4921 is the phone number. That's 1-866-730-4921.
Wow. All right, I have something to say.
Yeah.
Dawn and I were considering moving, but we're not going to.
You're not going to move?
She said, I'm screenshotting this, and I was like, okay, fine. Yeah, we were considering moving. It was just apartments, but we're not going to now. But I hope everybody was afraid that I wouldn't be here anymore. I hope that struck fear into your heart.
You go, I go, bro.
Doug, did that strike fear into your heart?
You don't do that to me.
Doug, stop crying.
You don't do that to me.
Okay? When Doug cries, his tears are golden.
It's weird.
I tried to give away some Doug blood yesterday. Nobody wanted it. Weirdos.
This hour, though, we're giving away t-shirts, courtesy of Barnett Harley-Davidson, some gift cards to Square Root Salon, the Astro Zombies, coffee shop here called Solomon's Porch, also Parchment's Bookstore. You can grab a resource. Speaking of resources, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, dude, it's going to be incredible. We're going to have Dr. Stephen Collins in studio, talking about what's going on with Sodom and Gomorrah, the dig over there, as well as the reliability of Scripture,
how we can use that. The historicity of Scripture as a whole, rather than archaeological evidence, which is funny because I saw somebody put up on Facebook, there's a guy that he just published a book, and it's all about how Christ was a myth.
Wow.
Totally a myth. He's got 126... what he calls silent historians.
Yeah.
But it's supposedly 126 of them, and he only found mention of Jesus in one. It was Josephus, who we talked about. Mm-hmm. And he says that he thinks it was all edited. These are things that people talk about. It's important, especially in the field of archaeology and archaeological digs.
Dr. Stephen Collins, if you don't know, he was the doctor who found a piece of Jesus' sandal in Ember. He then took it to an island.
Like this, no.
They cloned him.
Oh.
They based a movie on it. It's called Jurassic Park.
No.
There was a whole park.
That's different.
Of Jesus.
That's not. You've taken two things that I love and just totally bashed them. I don't know how to feel.
Did that not happen?
I think I just
maybe that was
myself.
In my dream last night.
I think
night.
I peed myself.
That's
a little
what
bit.
I dreamed last night.
Peed myself out of chair.
It was so vivid and real.
Uh-oh, we got a guess.
It was so vivid and real. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. If you would like to help out, it is day two of our 3-day share-a-thon. Welcoming into studio our guest. Hey!
Hello!
Oh, no.
That's right, everyone! The fall season is here, and with it comes a much happier and way more satisfying Lenny the Piper Popsicle.
Lenny, I want you to know ahead of time, you are on the radio live. Lenny the Purple Popsicle.
That's what they say every time. And all I can say is, I will behave myself, Maria. Do not be afraid.
Okay, good. Because our bosses, Joan, Maria, Daniel, they're listening right now. Last time I got
Daniel thinks I'm funny no matter what.
I got into a spot of trouble because, you're a purple popsicle. It was summertime. It gets really hot. You start getting melty and your mouth just gets
really...
Yeah,
tell me about a spot of trouble. When you're outside trying to do some yard work by your car and then it's 101 degrees. You're a purple popsicle. There's your spot of trouble, my friend. You are literally the spot of trouble on the sidewalk.
I'm so sorry, Lenny. I don't mean to laugh.
So don't talk to me about misfortune. Don't talk to me about your spot of trouble until you've been one.
Speaking of fortune, if somebody has a fortune, we need help right now. It is our 3-day share-a-thon, 1-866-730-4921. Is that why you came by, because it's our share-a-thon?
I just wanted people to know that there's this thing going on where Static needs your money. I know it sounds terrible. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, somebody else wants my money. Hoobly doobly. Well, here's the deal. It's okay for you to give them your money.
I like that.
I'm here to back it up.
Thank you.
I was sponsoring some baby ice cubes over in Africa, and I realized, I got a lot of my money going to that, but it's a really hot place. It's a hard place to raise ice cubes to grow into different flavored and colored popsicles.
That's true.
But I made some adjustments to my popsicular budget.
Your popsicular budget?
Don't ask. And I have become a Static fanatic as well.
Lenny, that means the world to me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. If Lenny the Purple Popsicle can call and donate and lend his support to Static.
Well, here's the thing. When I first called, I didn't realize who I was talking to, and I used some bad words.
Oh, no, Lenny!
But it's okay. I upped my monthly giving by $20.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
It's okay because... I feel bad.
Okay. Don't feel bad. You're doing good things. Lenny the Purple Popsicle, 1-866-730-4921. Now, Lenny, we got about 15 minutes before Theology Thursday.
Oh, great.
Do you think maybe you'd be willing to go kick it with the operators and take a phone call for the next Static Fanatic? Why?
I will not do
it. Come on, Lenny.
I don't want to talk to these random people.
Oh, come on.
Do you know what it's like being a popsicle and having to take phone calls?
I really don't.
Here, let me show you. I'll use my hands.
Oh.
Wait a second. Oh, he doesn't have hands.
Right, my bad. I wasn't thinking. I should really think before.
Why don't
I speak.
You use your brain once in a while, human?
I apologize.
Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Hit the bleep button real quick.
I really
just hit the bleep button. Now pretend I was talking to you. You can only imagine what I was saying. I have to go.
All right. Lenny, I love you. Lenny the Purple Popsicle, everybody.
I don't like you.
I know. All right.
Tell Doug I said I love his golden teeth.
I will, for sure. There you go. 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730.
He told me to tell you he's not taking calls.
4921.
What was that about?
Lenny, dude. He's kind of crazy, but that's okay. We got a phone call on line
one. Cool.
No, we don't have a phone call
on line
one. Doug, just, okay.
Doug, you fake us out over there, babe?
You're faking us out. Thanks, Doug. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, Theology Thursday. Dr. Stephen Collins in studio hanging out with us. Don't forget, it is day two of our 3-day share-a-thon. If you love Team Awesome Morning Party, please support us. We love being on the show and making you laugh every morning. So if you're a fan, become a fan addict. Huh?
Do it.
Static fanatic. Okay.
Stan
1-866-730-4921. That's Bye, 1-866-730-4921. Let the little ice cubes in Africa go.
Yes.
You know, we need help too.
I can't imagine what it's like trying to have ice over in, like, the hottest parts of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
First world problems, man.
Yeah.
We got it easy.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo, featuring Pat.
Pastors Brian Nixon and Jared Petro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Good morning.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Theology Thursday.
Theology Thursday. The little voice guy lied to you. Brian Nixon, not in studio. No. He is at home.
He's sick.
He's got a case of the lames.
But that's okay. I'm here. I'll carry the weight.
Pastor Jared Petro in studio with us. It's totally cool. Just kidding. Pray for Benix. He's at home. He's sick. And that dude, he doesn't call in regularly every week. So
it must be pretty bad.
Must be pretty bad. Or that Manchester United is on television.
That's true.
One or the other, we can't confirm which is real.
But we still have an exciting show, especially with the Share-a-thon.
Yes.
With what's going on with Static, right?
Absolutely. It's day two of our 3-day Share-a-thon. We're a listener-supported station, and we depend upon you, the listener. If you believe in this ministry, if you love what we provide, whether it's stupidity on our morning show or actual resources during Theology Thursday when real people come in and actually share, you know,
real
awesome
things. Yes.
We need your help. 1-866-730-4921. Shout out to Barnett Harley-Davidson in Las Cruces for giving us some t-shirts for the people that call in and donate. We also got gift card to Square Root Salon, $20 for that. We also have Astro Zombies Comic Shop and Parchment's Bookstore and Solomon's Porch, to name a few of the local awesome businesses that are hooking you up for hooking us up. So if you'd like to be a part of that, 1-866-730-4921. Now, we have to go to the Doctor of Doctors. He found the Ark of the Covenant, melted some Nazi faces. It was incredible.
Again, that's Indiana Jones.
He got shot, drank from the Holy Grail and the bullet wound. No, he didn't get shot. It was his dad.
Right.
Totally screwed up the Last Crusade. However, Dr. Collins, that dude, he doesn't screw things up like I do.
Right.
He's legit.
Okay.
He actually finds and discovers things, and he's an amazing dude, and he's in studio with us. Hi.
Hey, good to be here.
It's good to have you.
I was getting worried there for
a minute.
That's
right. So how was it finding the Ark of the Covenant,
Dr. Collins?
The Ark of the Covenant. We saw it. We hit it. We hit it again. So,
that's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. You had to do that. I mean, it melted a bunch of faces. It was crazy. And you're
not
like,
good.
What is happening? So we're glad you're safe and sound here in the studio.
Yeah.
So welcome. Welcome once again to Theology Thursday.
It's good to be here.
Man, it's good to have you. You're so awesome. You actually reside in the Albuquerque area now, from time to time.
Yeah, I live
some
here.
Some of the time.
Yeah, when I get to come home. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Busy.
So you're currently at home. For those that are just chiming in to Theology Thursday for the first time, or don't understand your background, who you are, and the awesomeness of, you know, discovering the city of Sodom, give us a background of who you are and your discoveries, if you will, as an archaeologist.
Well, we've been digging in Israel and Jordan for about 20 some odd years now.
Wow.
And our latest venture has been looking for the city of Sodom.
Yeah.
And people never could find it. We read the biblical text. We went to the text. It told us exactly how to get there.
Yeah.
Unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so we got there, and there it is. We excavated. It's the largest Bronze Age city. It goes back to the time of Abraham. It's the biggest city in that whole region. And it's been really exciting. 10 years of excavating now. We're about ready to go back in just a couple months.
And you know what? Dr. Steve Collins, we actually have his book here in the studio. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people, as they come up and, you know, we talk about archaeology, to find something this old and then is one thing and to discover this. But, you know, Dr. Steve Collins has written a book on Sodom and Gomorrah, and we also have a special guest that we're going to be bringing in as well today, which is pretty exciting, where Dr. Steve Collins and also Dr. Joseph Holden is going to be able to speak on a few of these things with the authority. Last week we did talk about the
historicity.
Thank you. Because I was
Benix
waiting for you to say that
word so many times.
Thank you.
Made historical it seem like it was a real word.
Yeah, that's right. And authenticity of Christ.
Yeah.
I want to even sit down and take a back seat on this and just listen to these professionals.
Scholars.
Exactly. Go into this because I think our listeners are very interested in how archaeology confirms Scripture, and especially as we think about, you know, with Static and the variety of shows that we do here. I mean, this is unusual.
unusual, you know, to be able to have two renowned doctors speak on with authority. It's not like they're sitting in some ivory tower.
Right.
These guys have gone out and looked at these things and said, is it true? Using the Bible as a roadmap, as Dr. Collins has done.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? It's there, just like the Bible said. And so we're excited to have them to be able to speak on these things. So.
And speaking of Dr. Holden, on the phone right now, actually, hanging out with us. Thank you, sir. Dr. Joseph Holden on the phone, co-author of the popular handbook of archaeology and the Bible. Welcome to Theology Thursday.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
It is good to have you. You know, I thought I was awesome because I feel like an archaeologist of sorts. I did discover the packaged Boba Fett from Empire Strikes Back. I thought that was vintage enough. Turns out you guys actually do real things like this. It's going to be a fun show for those that are new to Theology Thursday. You know, just providing a resource for the accuracy. As you said, the historicity. Last week we were talking specifically about Jesus Christ, but... the Bible as a whole under attack regularly.
It's intriguing. It's amazing.
And so people constantly saying, well, how can we know that the Bible is real? How can we know these things happened? And through archaeology, we can actually provide some answers. So thank you both for hanging out on the show with us, Dr. Collins, Dr. Holden, and man.
And you know what? Show. You know, I know, Steve-O, as we were talking earlier before the show, being able to have two great men who have done this research and have spent their lives doing this. And Dr. Joseph, it's great to have you online here. We want to be able to, I think, we try to narrow it down because we could spend hours, days, weeks on ends going through so much of the information that you've provided us. We were kind of thinking of the top 10, maybe even in your mind as you start to think as this show unfolds, the top 10, you know, key finds in archaeology that support, or if you will, confirm
scripture.
What scripture has obviously already said is there. And so I think we're going to start off with something like that. So, Steve-O?
Yeah, Dr. Holden, I know, you know, co-author of the popular handbook of archaeology and the Bible, talking about the reliability of scripture, as we said, God's word constantly under attack. How can we know? Written thousands of years ago. Oh, well, this isn't real. Noah's Ark this, so-and-so that. In fact, recently, even Christian artists, you know, we talked to we had Michael Gunger on the show, a Christian artist who said, "Yeah, I don't believe in this Genesis account or that." Mm-hmm. And so, regularly we get those not just from outside but from within the body. So, talk about some of the discoveries. What's the first discovery that comes to your mind that you say, "Well, this confirms whether it's, you know, one point in history or something biblical"? What's the first one that comes to your mind?
Well, for me, it has to be the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls are a group of the entire Hebrew Scriptures, our entire Old Testament, except the Book of Esther. And when we found these scrolls in 1947 in these caves in a little location called Qumran, it confirmed to scholars that we have the accurate copy of the original text that the prophets and the Old Testament authors wrote down. See, there was a question in our mind. We didn't have manuscripts that dated back to the 3rd century, the 2nd century, the 1st century BC. The latest one we had was about 1008 AD. So when we found those Dead Sea Scrolls, it confirmed to us that 95% plus of the text of our Old Testament was exactly the same as that later manuscript that dated to 1008 AD. So it really closed the gap of over 1,000 years to tell us that the textual transmission of the actual words, the phrases, the comments of biblical authors were what they actually wrote and not some embellishment or fabrication, or that they've been altered over time. And I say 95%. The other 5% differences were simply slips of the pen, spelling mistakes, word order reversals that changed no major doctrine or meaning of the text. So the Dead Sea Scrolls have to rank as probably the most important archaeological find in history.
Yeah. Dr. Collins?
Yeah, I got to say I'm really disappointed, Dr. Holden. I thought he was going to say Sodom.
Yeah.
You know,
contention.
I was high on my list. I was going to go on and on that he is such an erudite scholar because he agrees with me. But you know, anyway.
Now you don't have to.
Yeah. Now you don't have to. Yeah. That's amazing. Now let's talk about this, guys, because honestly, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, this generation, where we are at today in the year 2014, how important is it that we can go back in history to authenticate things? Because nowadays you just Google it, look up Wikipedia, and that's everybody's answer, and we take it as fact, and yet everybody questions the Bible, but they'll take some random Wikipedia page, and that's gospel. You know?
Yeah, as Dr. Holden pointed out, what the Dead Sea Scrolls show is that somebody didn't make this stuff up.
Right.
You know, somebody in the Middle Ages didn't concoct all of these stories and you know, some Jewish scholar. You know, this is real stuff coming from the ancient world, and it has a rather remarkable documentary paper trail that takes us back very close to the original text.
Yeah.
So it's and we can also see how accurate the ancient scribes were in bringing texts one generation to the next.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal to be able to close the gap on the documents of the Old Testament by about 1,300 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Man, on the phone right now, if you're just joining us, Dr. Joseph Holden. Of course, Dr. Stephen Collins in studio with us. It is Theology Thursday and day two of our three-day share-a-thon. If you are just joining us, we are a listener-supported station. We could totally use your help. 1-866-730-4921, the phone number. Maybe you have a question for these scholars in studio because they can answer real questions, unlike us. Although I could tell you who the actor was that played Darth Vader. So
that's true.
If you have questions about The Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi, I'm your dude.
I like to make up answers to any question I get. I like to make them up on the spot. That's how I do things.
Now, gentlemen, why? I got to ask. I'll start with you, Dr. Collins. Why archaeology? What was it about this that you said, this is my field, bro? I'm going.
Well, even though this is Theology Thursday,
yeah.
And I'll say there's nothing fundamentally wrong with theology. However, without the reality, without the tangible reality underneath it, the history underneath it, the theology can fly wherever it wants to.
Right.
It's not grounded. And so if the history isn't true to begin with, then how can we trust the spiritual message of the Bible?
Yeah.
So for me, the Bible is first and foremost a history book, a book about tangible history, and the way to get to the tangible history, to confirm the tangible history, is through archaeology. Mm. You dig it up, you look at it, you analyze it, you test it, you measure it, and we can come up with conclusions that what the Bible writers were talking about were not just myths and legends, not stuff that just popped into people's heads,
right.
Little stories they told through their family histories. These are actual people, actual events, real cities, real places. That we can prove with the spade. So we put the spade in the ground, we analyze what we find, and over and over and over and over again, it's supporting the historical authenticity and accuracy of the Bible.
Right on. Dr. Holden, same thing.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, these doctrines that Dr. Collins just spoke of grow out of a historical narrative. So if we dismiss the history that forms the basis of these doctrines, then we are actually throwing away those precious theological concepts that we all know and love. For example, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 12, he said, "Unless you believe me in earthly things, how will you ever believe me in heavenly things?"
Wow.
In other words, unless there is a certain sense in which these doctrines are rooted in history, things that we can verify, things that we can confirm, things, as Dr. Collins says, are tangible and concrete, then we don't have any confidence that what these things that Jesus talks about, such as heaven, the afterlife, what happens on the inside of a person when they're saved in the sanctification process, the things that you can't put in a test tube or in a microscope, we can trust those things now because of the basic things that he talks about can be confirmed. In fact, if you go to Romans 4:25, you'll find that Paul makes a very interesting connection between history and theology. And what he says there is that Christ was delivered up for our trespasses, and he was raised for our justification. In other words, if the actual cross did not happen in time and space, we don't get forgiveness of our trespasses. If the resurrection didn't happen physically in a real tomb in the first century, then we don't get justification before God. It takes those two historical events to validate, to make real the theology that flows from them. So I kind of cringe, you know, when Christians say, well, I didn't want to read my Bible. I don't care about the historical stuff. Well, the historical stuff formed the bedrock from which that precious theology flows.
Wow, absolutely. And of course, as we've been talking, you know, discovering these things and being able to actually go back and point out, hey, look, this actually lines up is so important. We have people running around today who just, you know, it's the year 2014 and less than 100 years ago, 70 years ago, 60 years ago, the Holocaust. And there are people that say, oh, that didn't happen. That was 60 years ago. We're talking about things that happened thousands of years ago. So for you gentlemen to be on the field and doing these things to discover ways that we can look at the accuracies of Scripture and confirm how reliable they are is monstrous. Yeah.
Let me bounce off what Dr. Holden just
I
said.
I could sit down. You guys just talk,
yeah,
man.
Go for it.
I'm going to go grab a Coke and just listen to you guys. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. the whole idea of the of what I say, the physicality of the historical record, of being able to do the archaeology. The reason this is important is that almost every religious book in the world is unconnected to testable reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can think of the Book of Mormon, you can think of the Bhagavad Gita, you can think of any religious book you want. They basically are unconnected to the historical space-time continuum, to physical reality, which in my book makes them a bunch of religious or pseudo-religious gobbledygook. Yeah. You can't verify it. You can't confirm it. What the Bible gives us is theology, is spiritual truth, yes, but it rises from the historical record. It rises from God's interaction with people, people's interaction with God. And it is, in the case of Jesus' resurrection, the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead is his calling card. Mm-hmm. That is a physical calling card. Mm-hmm. Now, it has theological implications, but it is physical at ground zero.
Yeah.
If Jesus doesn't physically rise from the dead, then you can write Christianity off as a bunch of religious gobbledygook like the rest of the religions of the world.
Yeah. And that's what Paul said, too. Paul said that if he didn't rise from the dead, then we were to be pitied.
Pitied, yeah.
You know, above all other people.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned something about the spade and how it reveals what, you know, you got to use the spade and to reveal what's in the word, in the sense of confirming that, and thinking of maybe even like a book title, but I wrote it down, The Spade and the Sword. And you think about the, you know, all that you guys have invested into of unearthing, even as Joseph mentioned with Nicodemus, about earthly things to heavenly things. Obviously, the Lord has almost in a, like a father would to a child, put things in a sandbox for their kids. Okay, now go find this, and then it puts the pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking about the first one that, you know, Joseph had mentioned about the Dead Sea Scrolls, huge, huge find.
But that's not the only one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know, as we think about, you know, what are some of the other ones? I mean, we think about the history, but, you know, even if you were to think about the top 10 key points, I'll leave that to Steve to go ahead and forge that question. But
I'm going to go ahead and say Sodom second, right? Sodom second, would that be number
what
two?
Would be, yeah. What would be on the top 10 list after the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Yeah,
what would be second?
I don't know how I would rank the discovery of Sodom, but here's the thing. The most doubted book in the Bible is the book of Genesis.
Okay.
The most criticized, doubted group of people in the Bible are the patriarchs of Genesis. Now, the city of Sodom, the cities of the plain, sit at the epicenter of the patriarchal stories.
Yeah.
This is the big city that sits at the middle of all of that. If we can confirm that those cities actually existed, that they were actually destroyed in a manner commensurate with how God says they were destroyed, how the Bible says they were destroyed, if we can find all of that, and it's all in the right place at the right time with all the right stuff, what does that say about the historicity of the Genesis geography, of the Genesis historical accounts? So that's what's really rising from the discovery of Sodom, is not just the city itself, but being able to elucidate the world of Abraham to give us what that world is, what it looks like, and how it relates to the biblical text. There's a lot of cultural information in the biblical text that connects directly with what we're discovering at Tal el Hamam, the city of Sodom in Jordan.
Man, Dr. Holden, I'm going to ask you the same question, but you better answer Sodom. I'm just kidding.
Well, I love where Steve went with this, because if you can confirm some of the passages in Scripture, like the conflagration, that fiery destruction of that city called Sodom and Gomorrah, then what you have really done is, when you confirm that, you have confirmed a very eccentric passage in the Genesis account. And if you confirm that kind of passage that might be difficult for some people to accept, if you confirm those, how much more can we confirm the very basic elements of Genesis and the reality that is connected to it? Because as Dr. Collins said, it is the epicenter of Genesis account. And if you see that within that patriarchal narrative, that Sodom is Sodom, and that what's being pulled out of the ground at Tal el Hamam, where Dr. Collins is digging right now, and you see that it's consistent with Scripture, then it just builds your confidence, and it makes it more easy for one to accept the other basic elements of Scripture. I mean, even another find, like the Balaam inscription. We talk about, we look at the book of Numbers, and we see that there's a talking donkey to Balaam. In fact, they actually found a plaster cast in a building in the area where Balaam made his prophecies or sayings, if you will, and it dates just to a few hundred years after the time that he made those statements to the children of Israel there as they prepared to cross over into the Canaan land. And there's, I mean, it's on display in the Jordan Museum right now that you can go see it. It says, on this plaster cast, it says, Balaam, the son of Beor, he was a seer of the gods. Little things like that just get you scratching your head, just saying, wow, there is something to this Bible story.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're just joining us, it's Theology Thursday. We do this week in and week out. Dr. Joseph Holden on the phone, and in studio, Dr. Stephen Collins. And man, fascinating stuff. Yeah. If you'd like to chime in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. That's facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can get your questions in that way, or of course, 505-338-3700, the phone number here, if you would like to chime in to ask a question that way as well. Don't forget, it is day two of our 3-day Share-a-thon. If Theology Thursday is a resource that you love, we do provide this for free. You know, you can download the podcast for free week in and week out. And if it's something you believe in, please call our operators, 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Talking about archaeology, some of the discoveries. You know, we're talking about what has been discovered, whether it's the city of Sodom, the Dead Sea Scrolls. I'm going to ask both of you guys a wish list question now, because I know your focus has been for many, many, many moons, the city of Sodom. But I would love to ask a wish list. Are there things within Scripture that you think, man, if these things, if we could unearth these things, how much greater would it be? Dr. Collins, I'll start with you. Do you have a wish list of things you would love to see discovered in the
If you go crazy with the wish list,
yeah,
I mean, you talk about
it's
things
Christmas.
Like Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what a grand confirmation of Scripture that would be. Now, you know, but we have to be very careful here. This gives us an opportunity to bring in the idea that there's some junk science, some pseudo-archaeology going on out there. People talk about the discovery of Noah's Ark. Well, it hasn't been discovered.
Right.
Now, if you discover something like that, then you can actually measure it, you can test it, you can put it through the archaeological protocols and confirm that that's what it is. That's one thing. But nobody has ever given us anything. None of the explorers, nothing through history, has taken us to a site that we can say is Noah's Ark to the point where we can say it has been discovered. And until it can come under the archaeological analysis, we can't say that there is anything archaeological going on with Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Or the Ark of the Covenant or anything else. Now, we'd love to find those things, but until they're physically discovered and physically analyzed, then we can't say, we really can't talk about them.
So you're telling me Raiders of the Lost Ark was not a documentary?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I have been lied to for years.
Yes, you have.
Gosh. Come on. Dr. Holden, do you have a wish list?
Well, boy, based, even in addition to what Dr. Collins just mentioned, you know, I'd love to see more information on the Exodus come out, either literary or archaeological. I'd like to see more discoveries from the 11th century and the early 10th century to help confirm, you know, David's urbanized kingdom, because today the big debate is, you know, was David a urbanized king, or was he simply a little tribal chieftain right. Governing a loose association of tribes living in a tent with some goats?
You know, you know what's interesting? I apologize for interrupting, but in chapter 19 of your book, Joseph, that you you worked with Norman
Dr.
Geisler, Norman Geisler on as well. I had just opened up, one of my questions was going to be to you about King David and his dynasty, because there's a lot of controversy whether this guy David existed. Was he just a chieftain? And if you can allude to, how far are we? I mean, do we have archaeological evidence proving or confirming that David actually existed in that area? I know there was some controversy that they found some things and it was fake. And can you elaborate on that?
Sure, no problem. There are usually right now three solid lines of confirmation for David's kingdom. The first one is the Tel Dan inscription. This inscription was found in 1993-94 by Avraham Baran, there at Tel Dan in the northern part of Israel, and it's an Aramaic text that's engraved in stone, and it actually has the phrase House of David on this Aramaic text, and it's really a text written in stone in Aramaic that is really boasting over a victory of the kings of the House of David. Now, if there's a House of David, there must have been a David to have a house. And then secondly, there's the Mesha Stele, or the Moabite stone, a lot of people call it. That was found back in 1868 by F.A. Klein in Dibon, Jordan, and some of the world's best epigraphers or language experts, they look at the inscription on here, and there's a little slice where they think that the House of David actually occurs a second time. And then I think even in addition to this, some recent discoveries at a tell overlooking the Valley of Elah. It's called Kerbet Kaepha. Some call it Sharim. Sharim is plural for gates, two gates. And Sargonor and Yosef Garfinkel of Hebrew University in Jerusalem have just basically uncovered this tell that lies on the border between the Philistine territory and the Judahite territory on the way to Jerusalem. And the low chronologists like Israel Finkelstein and the others who are arguing that David was just a little tribe living in a tent and so forth has really fallen on hard times now because of this Kerbet Kaepha discovery, which confirms a Judahite city mentioned in 1 Chronicles 4:31. You can also see it in 1 Samuel 17:52 and Joshua 15 and Joshua 36 and so forth. And this site is populated by huge ashlars, and the technology it took to build this certain site, the olive pits that were radiocarbon dated at Oxford University, placed this tell in the city in the 11th century to early 10th century. And that's the time where David and Solomon were there. Solomon just a little bit later, but that's something that a tribal chief living in a tent herding goats would not have the cooperation of a city-state, so to speak, to build this. So that tells us that David was an urbanized king. He had the technology. He had the power, the money, and the cooperation to build such a site. And this is really promising, and I can't wait to see what they've discovered there. In addition to just the ashlars, the architecture, the two gates that are mentioned that reflect Gezer and Hazor, of which even Solomon had his hand in remodeling, according to Scripture.
This is some of the areas that we look at on the news that is the most. It's disputed. It's very hard to even be in this location. Obviously, a lot of there are those who don't want this to come out. Obviously, obviously, I believe, you know, again, the Lord's going to reveal this in His timing. But when it does, which is pretty exciting, as you were mentioning to us the things that they're beginning to find, it's going to change the face of ownership, if you will, and land rights in multiple ways. This is a huge deal, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's still further study to go here, but based on the inscriptions they found, based on the dietary leftovers that they found, in fact, they found no pig bones. And if this was a Philistine city, you'd have probably pig and dog bones all over the place. And there are instances where there are pig and dog bones in Judahite cities, but it was for a narrow period of time, and it reflected a backslidden state of the Jews before Assyria and Babylon came down and got them and took them away. But this is so promising, and I believe certainly that David was an urbanized king. He had full control over the areas the Bible describes, and that the chronology that the low chronologists, such as Israel Finkelstein, give us is far too late. We should stick with the traditional dating.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let me add a couple of things. Two more confirmations of David's kingdom and of King David that have been noted by the renowned scholar Kenneth Kitchen at the University of Liverpool. One is another inscription in the Shawshank the First biblical Shishak inscription, a geographical inscription in Egypt that refers to the heights of David. And he's referring to the central hill country of Canaan, and he calls it the heights of David. And, of course, Shishak, Shawshank the First, was the one who took Jerusalem, sacked Jerusalem, after the death of King Solomon. So to still be referring to the heights of David brings us back to the founder of that dynasty, who was, in fact, King David. The other thing is that if you look at all the kingdoms, we can confirm the existence of all the kingdoms surrounding King David's Israel. You can confirm them all. And when you draw the geographical lines, which are quite well known for those kingdoms, what you wind up with is a blank spot in the midst of them, exactly the size that the Bible describes the kingdom of David and Solomon. And so what's interesting about that is, and Ken Kitchen brings this up, if King David's Israel and Solomon's Israel does not exist, then what in the world fits in this vacuum in the midst of all these kingdoms that we can confirm? Yeah. In other words, if the Bible didn't exist, we would predict that a kingdom like David and Solomon's would exist in the Middle East.
And you know what? That just goes to show, I think so often in the scriptures, when you read something about what is there, is just as important of what's not listed. I mean, I think of a passage like Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many of the nations that are listed, as a good Bible scholar and observation, you would also mark down those who are not listed. And that it reminds me of what you just mentioned there in archaeology, is, you know, deducing to look at something and say, well, what was here? What's not mentioned? Right. And obviously, just by that alone, what nations existed around? What could have been there? You know?
Yeah.
And so, excellent.
It is Theology Thursday. Sorry, Jared. Didn't mean to cut you off. But listen, talking with some amazing doctors in studio, Dr. Stephen Collins. And, of course, on the phone, Dr. Joseph Holden. World-renowned archaeologists and awesome dudes. So I have a question. We're talking about, you know, things that have been discovered. We talked a little bit about this wish list of things you would like to see discovered. Dr. Collins, you mentioned that no one has been able to come forward with, to authenticate, if you will, Noah's Ark. There have been things in the past where it's like, we found it! It's in Turkey! It's right here, guys! So let's talk about this, because I think there are a lot of times with this generation especially, as I mentioned earlier, you can Wikipedia something and take it as gospel fact. You can watch the Discovery Channel or the History Channel and you see something and you don't fact check it and you go, dude, that's real. All of a sudden the Bible's disproved, or all of a sudden this is disproved because this one dude said something. So can we talk about for a minute the actual process of what it takes to authenticate something? Anybody can come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I just grabbed a shovel and dug this thing up, and this totally means this. But for it to be recognized among scholars, among the archaeological community, if you will, what does it take to authenticate something?
Okay, let's take the example of Noah's Ark.
Okay,
the Bible does not say that that the Ark landed on Mount Ararat.
Right.
It says it landed on the Ararat Range on the mountains, plural, of Urartu, which is north of the Fertile Crescent. Now, we're talking about an area of some 2 million square miles. So there you go.
I'm good.
So as big as we might think the Ark was, it is like hunting a needle in a haystack. Okay. So how do you go and look for it? Well, the first thing you would do is look at settlement patterns in the region. What are the human settlement patterns going back to the earliest times, the earliest humans in the region? Well, in fact, if you look at the at global settlement patterns and run it backwards, the most ancient population center that we know of that is putting pressure on people to move because the population is burgeoning, guess where that happens? It happens between the Black and Caspian Sea in that area near the Urartu Range. So the first human beings, the population after the flood, was burgeoning in a particular area. Now, that's what modern archaeology and anthropology tells us. It's just interesting that the Bible would put the Ark and that family that came off the Ark, who's going to repopulate the world, would put them in the same area that only by modern archaeological and anthropological methods we've been able to confirm the epicenter of the global expansion of humanity. And it comes from that area. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, human beings came out of Africa. No, I'm talking about Homo sapiens here.
Yeah.
You know, talking about us, who are these people that are populating the world, where they're coming out of that region. And so that's exactly, it matches the Bible perfectly. So even though we can't find the Ark, we can confirm where human beings have been, where they went through history, and where they have gone. And it all goes back to the epicenter of that area where Noah's Ark, in fact, landed.
Wow. Dr. Holden? Anything you want to add?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, some people think they have this mistaken notion that what you have to find something in the ground and then match it with Scripture to confirm Scripture. If we haven't found something that Scripture talks about, it doesn't mean that Scripture's in error. It simply means we haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
And we may never found it, but it doesn't mean that the absence of evidence or an argument from silence is equivalent to a contradiction in Scripture or proof that it doesn't happen. The absence of something is not proof of anything at all. So back to your question about confirmation, when we dig something out of the ground, usually you bring in experts relating to the subject that you've brought out of the ground. You allow different scholars to vet the find and to confirm and to analyze, and then you publish it and things are reviewed and so forth. And then it finally makes its way into the societies, academic societies, and down into, hopefully, the church. And that was the whole goal of writing the popular handbook of archaeology in the Bible, was to fill the gap in knowledge between the archaeological evidence that supports the Scripture and the academic societies in which they wrangle about these things day and night. So hopefully, when people pick up a book or they pick up some information, let's say on Sodom that Dr. Collins has written, that they would read this and then see that these finds are consistent with Scripture. Because that's the only thing we need to do, is show that the finds are consistent with Scripture in order to give the Scripture the benefit of the doubt.
That's great. You know, I also think of, you know, I've heard different ideas, of course, dealing with Noah's Ark. And one of the convincing thoughts with Noah's Ark and had to do with elevation. I don't know if, and I'm sure you're aware of, where the fermentation process happened. It said Noah planted a vineyard, and obviously grapevines can only grow at a certain elevation. And so a lot of times when you're looking higher than, and I know, you know, topography has changed, but, you know, it's very interesting with the Urartu, you know, we're there in the Black Sea, which modern-day Turkey in that area, is very fascinating because of the elevation. How far did Noah's Ark really, you know, come down? Was it at a 6,000 level or whatever? And so that has changed some things, too, just with looking at geography and, and elevation. To change a little bit with this, I want to just kind of transition into kind of the, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
The process.
We actually got a New Testament question on Facebook, so this is perfect.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, I know we don't have, we have several minutes here before the show's done, but I would love to hear Joseph and Dr. Steve Collins' view on just manuscript evidence and the authenticity of Christ, Jesus yeah. Christ, and you know how we approach that in archaeology, being a little bit, of course, closer in date to where we are,
yeah.
but how, what is an archaeologist, how do they approach that as far as the New Testament is concerned, whether it be scripture, whether it be actual characters within scripture, and just let them go off and talk about that. So, yes.
Yeah. Dr. Collins?
The general run of the history in the New Testament, in what I call the primary historical source documents, the eyewitness documents of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, those documents are perfectly matched to the history of the early Romans, everything that's going on in Palestine at the time.
Yeah.
So all these links are there. So the history is, it is just a tightly woven history. It's as good as it gets. You couldn't ask for a better historical document of that time than what the New Testament record gives us. Now, on the other side of that, we have to bring in the idea that Jesus, individuals, intimately yeah. are hard to nail down historically. Even people like Julius Caesar. I mean, very right. difficult to get inside of his head, to really get close to the people that are close to him. But in the case of the New Testament, what we have are intimate accounts of these writers as they interact with Jesus over several years, mm-hmm. and they observe him, they hang out with him, they eat with him, they touch elbows, they rub elbows with him daily.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they begin to see, as a result of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, that he is who he claims to be,
right.
God in the flesh. And so on that basis, by the way, after the resurrection, they kept bumping into Jesus so frequently over 40 days that they finally got it through their head. Wow, he really, you know, we know he was dead, yeah. but he really is risen. And this is all eyewitness stuff. This is not written in the next generation. It's not written by somebody else looking back with myths and legends. It's right. written by people who had a face-to-face, elbow-to-elbow experience with Jesus.
Right.
And so these are primary historical source documents of first order, of the highest value. Now, when you call them the Bible or the Word of God, people kind of say, well, but that's the... Of course, Christians are going to say that Jesus rose from the dead. Of course, you know, they're believers.
Right.
What's interesting about that is that if you witness Jesus risen from the dead, would you not be a believer
right.
in the resurrection of
right,
Jesus
right.
from the dead?
Right.
You see, what unbelievers are asking is for is... non-believing, people who don't believe Jesus was God, people who don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, to give us a document stating that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
No, the fact is we have the documents of the skeptics, and those skeptics are people like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, who
James,
were skeptical. Yeah, they were doubting. Yeah. They were running at the time of the crucifixion. They became convinced yeah. by the physical evidence that Jesus was risen from the dead, and therefore they wrote. So anybody who was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Jesus would be a positive witness for the Christian faith. Of course they would be.
Fantastic. Yeah. Dr. Holt, anything that you want to add to that?
Well, that's great. I mean, these Greco-Roman documents, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are so tight to the first century and reflect so accurately the life and the times of the first century individual. It's just fantastic. And you've had different people over time in various disciplines, such as the discipline of law with Simon Greenleaf being goaded by his students into applying the rules of evidence or rules of law to the Gospels. And he ends up in the end confirming that these documents are definitely valid for entry as an exhibit in a court of law. Frank Morrison, who went out to disprove the resurrection, ends up being convinced of the evidence of Christ's resurrection. He ends up writing a whole nother book called Who Moved the Stone. It just goes over and over again. But a recent find, and I say recent, around 2002, and then the ensuing court battles that resulted around this recent find, it was a little bone box ossuary called the James Ossuary. It's one of the earliest links we have to Jesus and his family from the archaeological record. And on that bone box, it said, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. And this court case just ended not too long ago, about 4 years ago. And Oded Galan, who owned this bone box with this great inscription of Jesus, his father, and his brother James on it, ended up being acquitted of all charges of forgery. And this stands as one of the most authenticated pieces of archaeological artifact that we have today. In fact, there were 116 hearings, 138 witnesses, 52 expert witnesses, 400 exhibits, and 12,000 pages of documents confirming that there was no reason to believe that this inscription was forged by anybody.
Wow.
And
wow.
If this is true, then this is a fantastic confirmation of Jesus, his father, his brother, and his residence in Jerusalem where this first century bone box was found.
Amazing. Hey, we're just about to run out of time here, so before we go, I know we got a question on Facebook from a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, both of you guys, so much for being here. This has been absolutely fascinating, Dr. Collins and Dr. Holden. And if you missed any part of Theology Thursday, of course, mystaticradio.com/Theology Thursday. You can go check out the podcast in its entirety. And before we go, I want to remind you guys, if you love resources like this, we are day two of our three-day share-a-thon, and we need your support. We've got our operators standing by. The phone lines are open, 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. The lovely Vanna White over here is holding some amazing books in his hands.
Yes.
Of course, the first one, Discovering the City of Sodom by Dr. Stephen Collins, and the popular Handbook of Archaeology in the Bible, Dr. Joseph Holden and Dr. Norman Geisler, and man, amazing stuff.
Thank you guys for coming in and phoning in.
Yeah, we have a question from a listener on Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know if we just answered it, but I figured we could at
least...
A little bit.
I'll read it anyway. This comes from Jonathan. He says, there are some archaeological finds that lead in directions that we Christians do not like. They are quickly rejected if they don't align with our interpretation of Scripture. You guys were talking about the physical resurrection, and to be honest, I don't care whether or not Jesus was in the same body or a new metamorphosis of some kind. How God manifests himself to us doesn't matter to me. It only matters that he did, and that our sins are forgiven. I wasn't there. I don't know if the disciples interacted with some kind of new manifestation or the previous revitalized one in some way. What I do know is that they were foolish when they doubted him. Do you feel we get so hung up on the physical things and specificity of scriptural inerrancy that we make a stumbling block for the more logical-minded? Disclaimer, I am not asserting that the resurrection wasn't physical.
Wow. Okay. That's a big old question. Dr. Holden, would you like to start?
Well, just the issue of inerrancy is important because if we can't trust the Bible for what it tells us and there's falsehoods or error or fiction or legend in the Scripture, then what makes us think we have divine authority reading the words of Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
So what we see is the Bible gives us three important truths. One, that God cannot err. We learn that from Scripture. Number two, the Bible is the Word of God, which by logical necessity we must conclude that the Bible cannot err since it's His God-breathed Word.
Right.
So in order to avoid that conclusion of full inerrancy of Scripture, we would have to take issue with one of the two first premises. And God cannot err. I don't know any Orthodox believing person that believes that God could err.
Right.
And then second, the Bible claims to be the Word of God, so it has to be inerrant.
Yeah.
And then finally, if we don't have the inerrant Word of God, there is no reason to embrace the doctrines that flow from it, because the divine authority would ultimately be removed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, my reaction to the question is just simply that, listen, you can't rely on the fuzzies, on the warm fuzzies.
Yeah.
Here, because that's every other religion, cult, and ism in the world.
Yeah.
The whole point that I make and in my book, the Defendable Faith, is that if it's not confirmable, if it's not real, if it's not true in the historical sense, then we have no right to believe it.
Right.
And so to disconnect the physical resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which the Bible claims, by the way. All the evidence for Jesus' resurrection that's given in the New Testament is garden variety physical evidence. And John, in 1 John, says that which we have seen, physical, heard, physical, touched, physical, analyzed, physical, concerning the word of life. They believed that he was who he claimed to be on the sheer basis of the physical evidence that he that Jesus demonstrated to them that he was risen from the dead. If Christianity gets it moves an inch away from that, and we just start believing things because it gives our heart a flutter, then we are going to be like the Mormons and like the Buddhists and like everybody else, because we cannot slip back into this subjectivity, this sort of pseudo-religious gobbledygook that I referred to
well, and our
before,
emotions are
because
so
you
fleeting,
can't confirm it. Listen, Jesus came physically and rose from the dead for one reason, to give us reality concerning God.
Amen.
That's the connection.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I appreciate you, both of you guys, Dr. Joseph and Dr. Steve Collins, your heart, what you do, we pray for you guys. And again, those resources here at Parchment's Bookstore. You know, and when I read a question like this too, and to our listeners, I would challenge you, because of this station being provided by Static Radio, if you believe in this and you enjoy this, we would ask that you would donate, that you would become a monthly subscriber to what we're doing here, because we want to give reasonable answers to those who are questioning those things. Yeah. And even out of that, using evidence, whether it be archaeology, looking at scripture evidence, manuscript evidence, the reality is that Jesus Christ is alive, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you're searching, like Jesus would ask the question, who do you say that I am?
Right.
And, you know, if you examine the evidence logically, historically, there's proof. And it's not a blind faith here. This is a faith that is true, a faith that is evidential. So I want to encourage our listeners and our Facebook friends to be able to search the scriptures, get these resources to be able to encourage your faith, but also to see that this isn't just a whim. This is literal. God has a purpose and a plan, and he wants to affect your life. And of course, God loves us enough to tell us the truth.
Yeah.
And so with that, again, great Theology Thursday.
Absolutely. We're just
Thank
about
you.
Out of time.
Before, Thank you, gentlemen.
Before we go, though, I want to ask Dr. Collins and Dr. Holden, where can people find more information about, first, Dr. Collins, what you're doing? Website, anywhere people can go? We would love
DigSodom.com.
DigSodom.com. Beautiful. All right, we'll put that up on our Facebook page. Dr. Holden?
Yes, you can visit our website, VeritasSeminary.com, and go to the resource page.
All right, beautiful. We'll post both of those at our Facebook page as well. Of course, if you missed any part of Theology Thursday, you can check out the podcast, mystaticradio.com/Theology Thursday. Download it in its entirety. Gentlemen, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. It was fascinating stuff. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
All right, that's it for us. Up next, Middays with Mitch and us.
And yeah.
It is day two of our 3-day share-a-thon. We are a listener-supported station, and so if you believe in the ministry and what we're doing, if you enjoyed that Theology Thursday, would you please consider coming alongside us and donating? 1-866-730-4921. That's 1-866-730-4921. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Thank you guys for being here.
All right. On the way back, we got some Fallout Boy, some Middays with Mitch and Teo and Steve-O and Celeste and everybody coming back.
Everybody.
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.